Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello, and welcome to another issue of Marvelicious Toys. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie, but this week you might as well call me Thor, because I have an expanding hammerhead.
I think we're going to have to change the intro order, because I'm always just going to be Justin. You always get to be Arnie with something, and then there's Justin.
I think Justin needs to be something.
This isn't Now Playing. I didn't know that we needed to have, like, something funny to say every time. But now I know.
I don't have anything.
Way to mess it up, Arnie. Keep us on our toes.
I'm sorry, but expanding hammerhead? Really? The head is expanding? Really? We'll get to that.
Yes, we will.
We have a lot of news this week, a whole lot of stuff to review, but we have to start on a really sad note, and this was a bummer, and I felt really bad when I found this out. Hasbro has done an internal shift. It's not quite a reorg, but I think pretty close, and they've laid off 50 people, not as a cost-cutting measure, but to change direction and bring in people with new visions. And one of those 50 people was a person I considered a good friend of the show, David Vonner.
Sad face.
Yeah, me too. That's a bummer, you know? I mean, it's never good for people to get laid off and stuff like that, but losing David in this industry that, you know, we all enjoy, when they say something like new vision, it's a little scary. I'm not sure what that vision that they want to go forward with. Is it going to be less articulation and more money, or is it going to be something more collector-friendly? I don't know. But when we had David there, we kind of knew what his marching orders were, at least his vision for the line. So now it's kind of up in the air.
It really is. And I'm shocked, because when we were talking to him at Toy Fair, he'd not only been the Marvel Universe guy since, I think, the inception of the line, but he'd also taken over and, as he put it, steered the big ship of Marvel Legends. And in fact, I found out this week, it's because of David that the Marvel Legends are back. He was the one championing the return of the 6-inch figures and continuing that classic line. So if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be having any of these figures with that kind of influence over the entire Marvel brand, which is such a huge thing for Hasbro, especially this year with Avengers and Spider-Man and going forward with Iron Man 3 and whatnot. I find it hard to imagine that he was one that they wanted to let go, because it seems like he was doing so much. It feels like a case of, I don't know what happened higher up, but it feels like one of those cases of a dictator killing all his generals because they weren't winning battles.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one thing we have to keep in mind. You're right. This is a corporation, you know, and what matters to corporations is the bottom line. But, like, going back to the point of not knowing what exactly it is they're looking for as a corporation, it's a little scary because, like, as you said, David Vonner had so many things going on, and we may sit here show after show and nitpick this and nitpick that, but the problem has never been about quality, you know? The problem hasn't been about the wrong product. We might say, oh, they had an opportunity to do this character, or they missed articulation here. But overall, I think the line was heading in a good direction, just with breadth of product.
What they said in their announcement is that sales were down last year 1% over the year before. And while you may think initially 1%, well, that's one penny on the dollar, and who cares about a penny? When you're the world's largest toy manufacturer, 1% can be very astounding.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, when you deal with companies that make millions and millions of dollars, but their margin may only be 3 or 4%, 1% down is enormous. But what I'm thinking is, I know a lot of people complained last year, both on the Marvel and Star Wars side, about distribution, about how hard it was to find figures, and about the cost and everything. And I don't necessarily think it may be a coincidence that last year the prices of figures went higher than they'd been, and sales went down. I had talked to some other collectors this year, and it seems like I'm noticing at least among my friends' kids, that little boys don't play with action figures as long as they used to. When I was a kid, we'd play with them almost up till our teens or a little after. Now kids seem pretty much done with action figures by 8.
Yeah, I mean, more so than when we were kids. You know, you're still going to find some kids that are into them long after that. I don't know, the future will show us where they're heading, but, you know, just seeing some of the things that have happened over the last year seem to point to somebody upstairs saying, you know, more dollars, more product, less quality, you know? Like, the Avengers line to me seems like a directive from on high that says, cut as much cost out of these figures as you can and raise them up as much as you can in price, and let's see how that sells, you know?
Possibly, it's hard to say. I mean, I saw a comment from David that he wasn't so concerned when people were complaining about the lack of articulation in the new line and things. So I don't know. I really don't know what was him, what was him following orders, and what was him innovating. But to put a positive spin on it, I'm very anxious to see, because this could mean good things. We don't know if it's a directive or if there's some secret sales report somewhere that shows Spider-Man figures in the Marvel Universe line sell 10 times better than non-Spider-Man figures. But, you know, we've complained how every wave has a Spider-Man and or an Iron Man or a Cap. Maybe some new blood heading the line could bring us a new vision for figures and kind of reinvigorate the line.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to remain positive until I see something on the shelf or a trend out there that makes me think differently. But overall, it's a bummer to see a buddy like David go. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening, David, you have an open invite to give us a shout anytime just to shoot the breeze or whatever.
Absolutely, definitely. But I'd also like to point out, when we're talking about, you know, kids don't play figures as much, cost of supplies skyrocket. How much did it cost you to fill up my car the other day, Arnie?
Not going to mention that. It was
how many Hot Toys was that?
It was about 3/4 of a Hot Toy.
And that's what figures are made of. That's petroleum.
Chinese labor costs have gone up. The dollar's gone down. I understand why figures cost more, but I think that for kids who drive toy sales, they're outpricing their market. And what scares me is when their statement says they want people to come along with new ideas and new innovations. It makes me wonder if that new innovation is something other than an action figure.
Yeah, good point. We may be seeing the end of action figures as we know them.
I think they will always continue as collector's niche items. The McFarlane type stuff, the Maddie collector type stuff, you know, that thing. There will always be that niche market, but as far as these mass-produced, huge lines, 100 figures a year type thing found in every department store, it is conceivable that, I'd say even likely, in our lifetime that will go away and be replaced by digital media and digital things. Action figures have only been around for 50 years.
No, but think about what makes sense of them to do with action figures is blockbuster movies. You sell a ton, boom, move on to the next one. This long-standing making the obscure characters is going to go by the wayside, I feel.
You're right. And even with that, though, you know, I think what you just said is mainly true for a company like Hasbro. But you look around at other lines, and there's still tons of Pirates of the Caribbean toys out there. There's still tons of Real Steel toys out there. I don't know how well those sold. Maybe we are seeing the decline of action figures. Like, it's still working for Hasbro because maybe the properties that they have. But some of these other properties, you know, some of these other lines that don't have quite the quality, kids are looking at those and being like, eh, I don't need a zombie from Pirates of the Caribbean, whatever.
Well, we'll see what the future holds. I know David Vonner's going to land on his feet. And yeah, like Justin said, hopefully if he is still ever in a place where we owe you a beer, sir. And we thank you, because after covering toys for 6 years, nobody has ever embraced us like David Vonner has embraced us. And from day one, listening to the show, telling others he works with to listen to the show, you will be missed no matter what else happens.
Goes double for me. Very true.
To some happier news, it feels like it's been forever since we talked, because it feels like I've watched that new Avengers trailer at least 100 times.
You're tracking in that 0.7 in the number of views there, I think.
Yes, a record-setting 13.7 million views on iTunes. And how much did that new trailer just excite you?
Wow. I wish it was May. I have no words. It's just, I wish, once again, I don't remember the last time I was this excited about a movie. I wish a whole month would just, like, be gone, and it's almost time for that movie.
Yeah, see, Justin, I don't know if you are aware that in our household, we have a hype alert system, much like the terrorist alert system. Currently, we are at code Spider-Man.
Which is the red on the...
Yes, and it's the highest you can get on the hype alert system, which means I confiscate Arnie's credit cards and have to check periodically to see what he's purchased without me knowing. He's very excited about this movie, and he's just salivating at the thought of this movie coming out. And then they start releasing products for pre-order related to the movie. Now, these products aren't going to show up for 6 to 8 months. And then the movie happens, and he gets it all out of the system. You know, we probably watch it 20 times. It comes out on DVD or Blu-ray. We watch it, watch it. And then the products start showing up. And every day, we come home, and there's boxes on the front porch. And it's a, huh, wonder what that could be. I really don't remember what I ordered.
Premium format Black Widow.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen. So, the people that are listening, in 6 to 8 months, you guys need to write down on a calendar, Arnie's going to get a whole bunch of stuff in, forget he ordered it in the first place, and it's like Christmas all the time.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Hot Toys Nick Fury.
Somehow I doubt that's the one you're going to forget about.
No, because he doesn't pay attention to when he gets the shipping notices. A lot of times it's a, oh, what's this? I forgot what it was. Is this going to hit my credit card? What is it? Because sometimes the shipping notices are just very ambiguous.
I get UPS tracking numbers. I don't know even what company. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm like, I'm getting a box on Thursday that weighs 12 pounds. That actually happened this week.
This is why I'm not a very good pre-orderer. I can't look at something and want it and know that I have to wait for it. So if I know there's something out there and I don't pre-order it, then it's like, okay, but as soon as it's available, that's when I'll get it, because I can get it right away.
But sometimes you can't.
I know. And it's a dangerous game.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. And this leads down another dark path where the regret kicks in because you passed on something, and now it's 5 times the price on the black market, which, of course, the black market's eBay.
I believe that collectors don't ever suffer buyer's remorse, or very rarely. I really think the hardcore collectors suffer didn't buyer's remorse.
Yes. I can see that.
Every so often something shows up, like I got a Emma Frost poster from We Love Fine, and when it showed up, I'm like, wow, that's really ugly. But it's very rare that I have that kind of, I wish I hadn't spent the money. More often it's like, now I gotta spend $200 more for that guy on eBay.
True. I think, but it sounds like we're talking more about Hot Toys than anything else.
I'm actually thinking just any sideshow item, though. And I remember when Spider-Man 3 came out, I was so hyped, I pre-ordered their VCD deformed Venom. And I would, even though that movie kind of blew, I still thought it looked really good online. And then it showed up, and I opened it up, and I'm like, wow, this thing just is not very good. It is not... It's not that it wasn't well made. I know what the VCDs were, but I think the pre-production photo ended up being cuter and more stylized than the final version. So I just boxed it right up and shipped it back.
Yeah, and those things were kind of pricey, if I remember. Weren't those like around the $80 or $90 mark for those things?
Yeah, it was about $100 shipped.
Wow.
That was another reason why, since I didn't love it, it was boxed right up and gone right back.
There you go.
So basically what I'm saying, short story, Arnie's got a problem. And I think it should be hitting up real soon. Have you bought anything this weekend?
Not in the past few hours. Oh, actually, I did today, yes. We'll talk about it in our sales to Astonish. But let's talk about what we've bought, not this weekend, but very recently, in...
The Spectacular Store Report.
So the Avengers hit, as we said they would last time, and... It was right about the 1st, February 29th to March 1st is when they really showed up everywhere around here, Target, Walmart, Toys R Us.
Yeah, and, you know, I started seeing, I was a little surprised to see, I'm not sure if it's Wave 2 or not, but I saw some of these figures, you know, the day after, March 1st, March 2nd, and there was that Hawkeye and some of the other Captain America figures there. They got a couple waves out there pretty darn quickly.
What they did was they shipped two different waves, and you can find the full checklist at the Venganza Media Gazette at venganzamedia.com/gazette, or I'll link to it from marvelicioustoys.com. But there are two wave assortments that are shipping. Wave one has six figures, Super Shield, Captain America, Battlehammer, Thor, Heavy Artillery, Iron Man, Rocket Grenade, Captain America, Marvel's Hawkeye, and Sword Spike Thor figures 1 through 6. Then the Wave 2 assortment has figures 2 and 3, Battlehammer Thor and Heavy Artillery Iron Man, carried forward. And the new figures are 7 through 12, Reactron Armor Iron Man, Gamma Smash Hulk, Shock Strike Thor, Shield Launcher Captain America, Fusion Armor Iron Man Mark 7, and Cosmic Spear Loki. And those all showed up the first day, but I noticed that they didn't show up at the same places. Like, my Toys R Us only got Wave 2, and my Walmart only got Wave 1. So I had to hit several stores to find all of these figures.
Yeah, that seems to be what I'm seeing, too. Toys R Us has only got that one certain wave so far. But, yeah, I mean, between the three stores, it's been pretty easy to put together a whole set if you were so inclined. I personally have a little bit softened my stance on these. I'm still not in love with them, but I broke down and I bought a few of them.
Well, let's go through these figure by figure, because I think this is the big toy line of the year. And Justin, you know, I want to really have you answer what these figures lack that make you not like them, because getting them in my hand, getting them out, taking their pictures, posing them, I, by and large, really like these figures. I'm very happy with this line.
Well, and that's kind of where I did soften my stance a little bit. Once I opened them and had them in my hands and stuff, I went from really not liking them to thinking, hey, these are okay. But like I said, I'm still not in love. I mean, it still comes down to the articulation. You know, there's some of them where I would love there to be ankles, and I would love for there to be some wrists. You know, with a good example is the comic series Thor. You know, try putting his axe above his head in a decent pose when all he has is a shoulder and an elbow. You can't twist his wrist to get his axe in a cool pose. And, you know, with knees but no ankles, you're basically left to stand him straight up. The minute you start doing any wide stance, you can't do anything with the ankles, so they're not going to stand.
Ankles and wrists are the couple of things I would have liked, but when you talked before about how these figures lacked articulation, I really expected to get these out and find them to have 5 to 7 points of articulation. But we look at figure number one, Super Shield Captain America here. He's got wrist, elbow, ball-jointed shoulders, swivel hips, knees. He theoretically has hip articulation, but his little pouches kind of prevent it.
That figure confuses me. That figure to me is, why did they not just repaint the existing Captain America from the Captain America line and use that? They spent money to remake this figure to cut articulation out. I do not understand that. That's almost nearly exactly the same figure that we got with the glider in one pack and another version of as a single card figure in the Captain America line. And yet they cut out some of the articulation. Why does he not have ankles now?
It's because he's got these Doc Martens on.
Same outfit.
Yeah.
Same boots.
It is the same boot.
I can't answer the rationale behind that, except maybe it is truly cheaper to pay one sculptor to figure out how to re-sculpt it and then manufacture fewer parts. Or maybe these are parts that could then be reused later on other figures themselves.
It's possible. It's possible. I can't imagine why that would be cheaper than just running more of the existing, but I don't run Hasbro, so it's just for us to guess, I guess.
Probably good that you don't. That's a little job security. Now, this figure, I like the outfit. I think that, you know, it's a slightly different thing because it's like a World War II flak jacket over a more modern painted outfit. It's neither movie accurate nor comic accurate, to my knowledge.
No, yeah, it looks like he stole Crossbones' little vest there.
That's what he looks like. That's what I couldn't figure out, because to me it never looked like Captain America, but it looks like Crossbones.
He's action photographer Captain America.
He's the embedded photographer. I was a little bummed because they molded a knife to his belt, but it's not removable. If you're going to give somebody a knife, I mean, he should have come with a knife that we could slide in there instead of just molding it. That was a bit of a bummer. And I'm not too happy with the paint job. I wonder if this is going to get better in future waves. Mine looks really sloppily painted. He looks a little Walter Matthau-ish.
It's not a good head.
The white has really light areas where the blue plastic is showing through. So all in all, I like the concept of the figure. The execution here was a bit of a miss in the paint app, though. And it's already rubbing off in his elbow joints on mine. His accessory is a shield with pop-out rocket boosters.
It looks like a big claw.
The rocket boosters look like guns to me. I mean, I've never seen rocket boosters that come with scopes.
Then you're just not looking hard enough.
Perhaps it's not Captain America-ish to have a shield with guns in it, and so they're like, you can't do that. Marvel's like, no, Captain America does not carry two M16s in his shield. They're rocket boosters. Oh, okay then.
Yeah, to me, it's just another one of those weird accessories that somebody spent a little bit of time on, just so it wasn't just another shield, maybe to catch some kid's eye. But I don't know, if I was a kid, I'd be looking at characters, not worried too much about what the little gimmicky pack-in was.
Here's the funniest thing, is all of these say on the front, try me, right? And they have a little hole in the front. Not all of them, but most of them. And so in this one, you put your little thumb in and you squeeze it and you see this little claw thing comes out. But it's so unexciting. I can't imagine any child going in, hitting the try me button, seeing that there's a spring that just kind of squeezes out and then releases when you do and goes, that's so much fun. I have to take it home and do that again and again and again. Now, it also comes with a peg because Captain America likes to wear a shield on his back. That would be cool if it was just the shield, but with these rocket boosters, it becomes so thick on his back and he's so back heavy, he cannot stand.
Well, that's one way Red Skull could win, I guess.
Yeah, it does look a little bit cumbersome. Maybe he could use Iron Man's fenders from the Iron Man racer and that would balance him out a little bit. Well, that figure was an easy pass for this guy who's not, like I said, in love with the line. And I feel like I have enough caps that look very similar to that still lying around and not having found a home on the shelf yet. That, you know, if some of these do eventually make it to the clearance sections of the stores at the end of the summer, then maybe I'll reconsider picking up a couple of these other ones. But yeah, this one was, for me, an easy one to just leave sitting there.
What about number two? It's Battle Hammer Thor with an expanding hammerhead.
That's awesome.
Yes, I did pick this one up. And I'm not sure if it was because it was kind of fun and comic-y and unlike any other Thor that we've gotten so far in any of the lines. But yeah, I picked it up. And good sculpt. I'll give it that. There's a good sculpt. There's some cool hair.
Except his biceps are so big, his arms don't go against his side very well.
Yeah. He has a little bit of a wrestler build going on there.
They're huge. And the hair.
It's a little Hulkamania.
Yeah.
With the beard and the hair and the guns.
The hair is horrible. It's like the figure's wearing a wig.
What are you going to do, brother, when I throw this hammer at you? My one problem with this figure, I do love this figure. I love the paint job. It is straight out of the Ultimate Comics, including his Mjolnir, which is a far more modern-looking, imposing Mjolnir with a half-axe, half-hammer look to him. It reminds me of just the cover of Ultimate Comics Thor number 1, where he's sitting on the throne holding this exact hammer. So I love that about it. It feels like this figure in this sculpt could have been right part of the Marvel Universe line. But like you mentioned, lack of wrist articulation, that doesn't bother me so much because he has double jointed elbows, but also lack of a ball jointed head. He is perpetually looking down.
I don't think it's a lack of a ball jointed head. It's there. It's just the hair prevents him from moving his head up at all. Same problem we had with some of the Iron Man figures where he's constantly with his head positioned down.
Oh, I guess you're right, but my hair isn't hitting his body. For some reason, his head just doesn't go back far enough.
Hmm. Weird angle on the neck.
Now, his play feature is the expanding hammer head. You just grab the red part, push up on the shaft, and it expands.
Yes, it does.
But I don't know, Justin, you have it. Would you call this a hammer?
No.
It's like not an axe.
Yeah, more of an axe once it's expanded than anything else. Otherwise, it looks like some weird draconian steampunk type of surgical instrument.
But no, I like this figure, and I notice the missing articulation, but I don't mind it. And the play feature, this is one of the few play feature accessories that doesn't look terrible. I could see posing him with it. I don't know why Thor has a trident.
So he can fight Aquaman. Yeah, all in all, not a bad figure. You know, I mean, I'm not going to keep dinging each and every one of these figures that we talk about over the articulation because it's the same throughout the line. There's not going to be any surprise articulation here and there. So, I mean, I guess I need to just talk about the sculpt, and I'm pretty happy with the sculpt and the paint tapped on the one I have. So,
and like I said, both of these figures stand without a problem. I said last show, what I care about is, it can the figure stand versus having so many joints that are so loose that I can't get the thing to stand any which way. I was able to stand almost every figure, at least just the figures and their basic accessories, without any trouble. But when I started getting into some of the larger accessories, like figure number 3, Heavy Artillery Iron Man, yeah. Well, thank God I have the Galactus box of parts, and now I've overflown into a Sentinel box of parts. Need to hurry up on Fing Fang Foom for another box of these parts if they keep coming.
It is a BFG that is pretty darn useless. PDU.
I'm sorry, Tony Stark is a Mac. He's not a PC. He doesn't want the BFG. He doesn't want huge armor. He wants what as compact as possible.
True. Yes, this is getting into War Machine levels of weaponry attached to his arms and shoulders.
Now, the figure himself is a pretty average Iron Man, kind of a modified Mark VI. They call it a concept series. It's like a Mark VI with extra silver, I think.
I don't like the shade of red on him. Coupled with the gold, I just don't think it's the right colors.
It's a very dark red.
Every once in a while, there's an Iron Man figure that has the right red where you're just like, oh my god, that's awesome, it's pretty. This, not so much. I don't like the gold, and maybe it's the gold that's throwing me. I don't like the color gold they used, which is, I guess, totally a girl thing.
It seems a little more yellowy gold than gold.
I am honestly not a gold fan whatsoever, so it's like my least favorite color.
Now, this one I did pass on because, you know, being a triangle-chested Mark VI-ish Iron Man, I felt like I had plenty of these from just buying Iron Man stuff over the last couple years, so I didn't find it necessary to add this BFG to my box of unused parts.
I will say this figure feels very much to me like it could come right out of the Iron Man 2 or Iron Man Armored Avenger line. It's the same kind of paint, it's the same kind of sculpt, it's exactly what I'm used to from that line. His BFG is painted the same shade of red on the tip. I could see this as a very skippable figure for anyone who has it. You talk about the triangle, there was an interesting interview with Joss Whedon where they discuss Iron Man's armor, and he just quickly says, Marvel said they wanted his armor to evolve in every movie, and that's fine with me because the triangle is ass.
Yeah. That's all the reasoning I need for it to be a circle, is because Josh Whedon says because the triangle is ass. I don't need any in-movie or any in-universe explanation. Just knowing that that's the reason why it's a circle again, I'm fine with it now.
Well, it's going to be the triangle at the very beginning, but it's been hinted at that, yeah, some bad things occur to the Mark VI, which is why we get the Mark VII.
No, I just remember questioning right away when we started seeing leaked, you know, images why he was back to the circle. And we're like, he better have a good reason for going back to the circle. And this reasoning is all I need.
The next figure, number 4, Rocket Grenade Captain America. And this feels, again, a lot like just one of the World War II Cap figures.
Totally different face on this one, though. It's not as harsh and angular of a jaw.
It's more comic booky. And you especially notice that this figure has a variant, an unmasked variant, and the face looks very much to me like a comic book Steve Rogers, not at all like Chris Evans.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, interesting. I don't think I've seen the unmasked variant.
I can't say that I've seen one more than the other to tell you which one's shorter pack.
Kind of looks like Adam West with the mask version. Like jawline and lips.
Strangely, these figures remind me nothing so much as the 1990 Captain America movie starring J.D. Salinger's son as Captain America. That's what this face looks like to me.
I can see that.
It's, again, not a bad figure. I like the different kind of outfits. It just basically looks like Captain America is about to jump out of a parachute.
Yeah, it is very vintagey, though, meaning it looks like World War II, not a modernized Cap.
Yep. And the reason I skipped it, because it looks exactly alike. Minor paint differences, but it looks exactly like the movie version of the Cap figure that we already have.
The unmasked variant is very much worth picking up, I think. It's the head is very different. And I've heard some people picking up extras of these to go back to the World War II figures from the Captain America First Avenger line and popping this head on so that they could have unmasked versions of that Captain America as well.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all.
Also, I really like the shield he comes with, his basic accessory, because it's got that metallic look to it, and it's just really a cool way of representing the movie version of that shield in a toy. The best I've seen so far, I think.
Yeah, and it's just a basic shield. It doesn't have any gimmicks on it or anything, so it's something he can hold in his hand, he can plop it on his back, and it feels like part of the toy rather than something to enhance the toy.
You technically can't pop it on his back because there's no peg hole on the back, even though the shield itself does have a peg. So you could pop it back on number one's back and not have him be so off balance.
Huh.
But what I like is that peg actually functions as a way for Captain America to hold his shield in a much better way. The previous casts we've had, you usually snap it onto his wrist and it doesn't really look all that right. Now you can have him kind of hold it like a gun and it looks like a much better, more natural way of holding that shield.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now his play accessory is the rocket grenade, which is a olive green looking gun.
It looks like some gun from out of Men in Black.
It really does when you open his little hatch when you put the missile in, and it's got this bright green innards, like an Energon cube.
I'm pretty sure this is a G.I. Joe accessory.
See, Captain America would never carry that. First of all, it'd be red and blue, not green and yellow.
So I'm happy with this figure. I'm happy with the paint jobs. I especially do like the unmasked version, though. It is different enough, I think, to warrant a purchase if you are into like the different masked, unmasked ways of going.
That I might do. I might try to track down the unmasked version.
Number 5, Marvel's Hawkeye. And this is certainly not from the movie. So this, like Thor, is the ultimate comics Hawkeye. And he comes armed to the teeth. He has two pistols, a crossbow, and then a BFG that we'll talk about in a minute. But I've always thought of the 616 Hawkeye specifically as an archer, so to have crossbows and pistols.
Yeah, a little out of character.
Did you pick him up, Justin?
Yeah, this is one that I did pick up. I was excited to see it, and I'm not sure if it's because he just looks so darn cool, you know, and I'm willing to overlook some of the articulation issues here, but there is something different going on with the way they did the hips on this one. You get a lot of range of motion in these ball-jointed hips, more so than in any other figures that we've seen before. Which kind of makes me wish that he had ankles to get him into those more dynamic poses. But just as a cool-looking figure, this guy delivers. You know, you take away some of the cruddy pack-in stuff and maybe even the way-too-small crossbow that doesn't want to sit in his hand. You've got a neat-looking guy.
I don't necessarily like his mask that he wears. It makes him look very ominous.
I don't really think of that as the iconic Ultimate Comics Hawkeye. I wonder if they'll come out with the unmasked variant, because I normally see him unmasked in that series.
Yeah, and he's like a red dot on his forehead, too.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, from the comics.
Yeah.
It's, in the comics, like a bullseye. So I guess he's, you know, like Bullseye in the Daredevil movie had the brand on his head. In Ultimate Comics, he wears a mask with a bullseye on the front.
Yeah, I guess my one complaint is instead of the pistols and the small crossbow and the big shoot a missile gun, just give me one cool bow and arrow. You know, a compound bow and some arrows. That'd make this figure pretty darn sweet.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The pack and accessory, it comes with not one but three projectiles.
And they're multicolored.
Wait, that's Hawkeye's?
Yeah.
If he has such great vision, why does he need such a giant gun with giant missiles? Shouldn't he be like the guy with the little tiny stuff that could shoot something that, you know, a million miles away?
I can't even figure out how this gun fires.
Here, let me see. I'll figure it out.
Well, I figured it out. It's supposed to be a bow, and I extend it, and then it shoots. It's counterintuitive. Everything else you squeeze to shoot.
I think there's a little trigger on the top that also shoots it, too, if I'm not mistaken. Man, if nothing else, these pack-ins are great for innuendo.
They are. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the extra missile's strapped to his back if you want to look really dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, how is he ever going to sit down or ride in a car with that?
Again, I'm always happy when these figures go and recreate something from the comics. So I'm happy that we're getting a sculpt that we probably wouldn't get otherwise. We have enough 616 Universe Hawkeye figures because they released him in the regular line and in the Toys R Us exclusive figures. So I'm glad to be getting that figure. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's a cool wait till the movie Hawkeye comes out holdover, I guess. But this guy actually might be more exciting as an action figure than the movie version of Hawkeye.
Very true. A bit more colorful, a bit more play features.
Snake eye.
Yes, snake eyes. I can see that. Figure 6 is another Thor. This one, it's concept series, but it looks very movie-like to me. Sword Spike Thor.
Yeah, it's strange that that one is considered concept series, I guess, because he looks so much like a movie version, but I guess it's just because they went with his original movie outfit rather than with the Avengers movie outfit.
But he looks like Heath Ledger. The face on the action figure looks like Heath Ledger.
It isn't the greatest Chris Hemsworth face.
Smooshed it all together with the helmet, but it looks like Heath Ledger.
Yeah, this is another one where I have to question why make a new figure when you have this exact figure all ready to go. Now, this one comes as a variant as well, too, though, right? You say there's a helmeted version and a helmetless version.
Right. The variant in this case is the helmeted because the back picture shows the unhelmeted. I think the unhelmeted looks a lot more like Chris Hemsworth because the hair is allowed to be a little more free. The face isn't quite as smushed.
He almost looks like Val Kilmer's Jim Morrison.
Now, he comes with Mjolnir, which is a good basic accessory. And I do think, like you say, Justin, this is a way for people who didn't get the Thor figures, don't want to buy them on clearance at Toys R Us.
Yeah, don't want to look one peg over.
They can get their Thor. Now, he comes with the launching battle spike, which he cannot hold. This was the figure that I really wished for wrist articulation because he could not hold this. Then moving on to Wave 2, Reactron Armor Iron Man. I had to check a couple different times to make sure before I got this figure in hand that I wasn't misspelling Reactor Armor Iron Man.
No, it's Reactron.
This is the one I've been referring to as the Stealth Armor, but technically it's not. It is a combination of blues and blacks, and I don't know that there's anything stealthy when you're wearing baby blue on your knee pads.
Quite obviously inspired by the movie Tron. Here's your Iron Man Tron crossover.
Exactly. It's right in the name. Reactron Iron Man.
It's exactly what it was. It's a very cool blue and black Iron Man.
Hey, it can go with Tron Thor from the Tron line, then.
Someone more talented than I could paint, like, the glow-in-the-dark paint in there where it's blue and have a super cool kind of Iron Man. Although, here's the thing that's wrong. Back of the suit, completely black. It needs some je ne sais quoi.
I agree. I think that his spine should have been painted red like a Cylon.
Yes, but in blue.
Maybe that's his stealth mode, you know? If somebody comes up, he just turns his face to the wall. You can't see him.
That's the worst stealth move ever. I guess times are tough at Stark Industries this year.
Now, this figure is an obvious repaint of figure number 3, Heavy Artillery Iron Man. It even comes with a repainted pack-in. I feel like I'm buying a Masters of the Universe toy. Like, this is the faker to Figure 3's He-Man because it's all blue and even the weapons are just painted a different color.
Nice. He, from now on, shall be known as Faker Iron Man. I love it.
Figure 8 was one that I was looking forward to the most. And then when I finally saw it in person at Toys R Us in New York, I was disappointed in him passed on. And now that I have him, I'm kind of somewhere in the middle on him. And this is Gamma Smash Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pull his fist back and he smashes. And you pull his fist back and he smashes.
That's it.
Well, Hulk smashes. That's kind of what Hulk does.
But it needs like a lever to do that.
He could almost be a stand-in for your rock-tossing Hulk. Put a rock in that open hand and you could toss it across the room.
It doesn't look very Ruffalo-ish. I'm shocked when I saw the trailer how much they basically distended Mark Ruffalo. It's like Mark Ruffalo went on steroids and then quit his diet and that's how the Hulk's face looks. You know that moon face that steroid people get?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. His whole body is like that, though. Just this undefined mass of muscle.
I find it weird that he has this very obvious ab articulation, and I know it's so he can bend forward when he smashes, but...
Yeah, his whole body moves when he does it, doesn't it? Although I would sit there, if this is on my desk, and do this all day long. Hulk smash. Hulk smash. Hulk smash TPS reports, yeah. I mean, it's fun. I don't know why you don't like him. It's a fun little figure. That's better than any expanding hammerhead.
He's okay. You know, the biggest problem with him, no pun intended, is scale. He's too small for Hulk. I mean, he stands the same height as Iron Man, almost. He's just a slightly bit taller than Iron Man. We've seen the trailer. Hulk catches Iron Man single-handed when Iron Man's falling from the sky. Hulk needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
But then all your Hulk figures would be in a different figure line. Or they'd cost extra because they were deluxe.
I would pay extra for deluxe Hulk that was correctly scaled.
True.
And came with Banner.
Here, here. Maybe we'll eventually get a line of Avengers 6-inch figures. And they can do a 2-short for Marvel Legends movie Hulk that would be just perfect for 3 3/4-inch.
Well, I did go outside the Avengers 3 3/4-inch line. I bought one of the 6-inch figures that they have with the leg squeeze action. Now, they're doing a full set of 4 of the Hulk, Thor, Cap, and Iron Man. The only one I bought was Hulk, because if you look at him, he is very much better to scale. He can carry Iron Man. He's quite a bit bigger than the 3 3/4-inch Hulk. He might be a little too big. I need to see more of the movie. But he feels like a much better scale of Hulk to me. And until or unless they come out with a Marvel Legends scale Hulk with better articulation, I figured a Hulk in the hand.
Does he look like Ruffalo?
He doesn't look like Ruffalo. He honestly looks like a marionette. Because all of the 4 figures that have the leg squeeze action do kind of punch or throw. But for some reason, Hulk also drops his jaw. I sent Justin and Marjorie an iPhone text video of this when I saw it in the store, and you think some of the things we say on the show are bad. Those were some of the dirtiest text messages I've ever received.
In a 3-way format, too.
Yeah.
Because basically his arms keep going up and down and his mouth keeps opening in a weird circular fashion. I'll post the video online.
I wish I'd have never looked at his leg, because the way his leg has to cut over for the smash action is creepy and weird.
Uh-huh.
He does, like, this weird hip motion, like he's dancing. Oh, no, he's not dancing, is he?
He's dislocating his hip.
Yeah.
Because
Hulk's old.
It's not really, you're not squeezing the 2 legs together. You're just moving one of the legs, and you're holding the other one as a base.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it's a little bit creepy, but he is poseable. He has wrist articulation.
There you go.
He has no neck articulation, though, but I figured some Hulk is better than no Hulk. So I did pick this one up, but I will not be buying any more of the leg squeeze figures than Hulk.
Keep your mouth closed, Hulk. I think the most disturbing thing is that his facial expression doesn't change at all as he opens his mouth. Just try that in the mirror sometime and see if you freak yourself out.
I think the weirdest thing is if you look inside his mouth, there's gears there. He comes with no accessory, though, because his punch is his accessory. Now, continuing the movie series, we get Shock Strike Thor, and this is a much better Chris Hemsworth likeness than the other figure, I think.
Oh, yeah, it is much better.
Now, he comes with a super accessory that looks like it's from the Ghostbusters line or the Star Wars line. It looks like a gun covered in Force Lightning or the Ghostbusters
slime. What is it?
It is a shooting hammer, and one of the big blue pieces has Mjolnir in it, and it snaps into this other piece, and then you shoot it.
Now, this one's the movie series Thor,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now he's wearing Han Solo pants and slightly modified armor.
He's wearing Han Solo's pants. They gave him some serious muscles, though. Look at his forearms. He's got, like, Popeye arms, and then his calves are, like, ridiculously huge.
He's been working out. He's in Hollywood now.
Yeah.
Are those some veins popping through the pants in his thighs, or is that just...
I don't know if it's veins or he did an iron.
Very, very tight pants.
Well, they have, you know, dryers and like high heat setting on Asgard.
He comes with basic Mjolnir, which is good. I kind of like the concept of the shooting gun because it looks like Mjolnir trapped in like a block of ice. But Thor cannot even hold his arm up with that gun on.
Nor should he be able to.
Yeah. Well, no, it's as big as he is.
Yeah, that's a strange accessory. I give him props for doing something different, but it's a little strange. Now, I didn't pick this one up. This is the one out of the four main Avenger movie characters that I didn't pick up. And I think it just goes back to it's not different enough for me to be excited about it just yet. Maybe after I see the movie, I'll totally change my mind and need slightly modified outfit Thor.
Then we have Shield Launcher Captain America in the movie series.
This is the figure that started to change my mind about the line and softening my stance on the lack of articulation. Because once you get them out, the hips aren't as weird as they look in the package. I don't know what it is about them sitting in the package that just highlights them. And even on the back of the card, it looks weird. But once you have him out and start posing him up a little bit, he's one of the few figures in this line so far to have double hinged knees, which is something that's gone away on a lot of these figures. So that helps with this particular figure.
Okay. First thing I noticed, Arnie handed me this figure. He's got a big hole in his back with a star on it. So I looked at his shield. That doesn't go there. He comes with this big green launchers or more to it that you're holding back. Oh, it launches a shield. How does this even work?
You push on it from behind.
Oh. No, that's not so good. But then it goes on his back, and the problem is that he can't stand up with it. Why didn't they just make this the shield?
What's good is if you bought that previous Captain America, you could put his shield on this back. Because I said the last shield had a peg with no hole. This has a hole and it has this stupid ass gun. But his shield actually has straps, which make it very hard for Cap to hold. And you can't strap it to his back the way you could the others.
I almost wonder if something got mixed up at the factory and the wrong shields went with the wrong figures. Because it would make more sense that the one with the peg go with the one with the peg hole.
Yeah, I wonder too.
Did you also notice that his shield launcher has the A on it?
Yeah, I kind of like that little detail that has the Avengers logo on the gun. It's the only thing I like about the gun is that they painted an A on it.
That, and it almost feels like it could snap onto a vehicle, you know, as a accessory to a vehicle.
Oh, yeah, it could.
Yes, like a G.I. Joe tank.
With a big A on it. Did you buy that?
He comes with a pistol, too, so I'm thinking he's still going to be using a gun in this next movie.
Is he anti-guns?
Well, he doesn't really need one in the comic. He throws his shield around, and he did use a gun in the old 40s serial. He used a gun in the last movie. It made sense. In World War II, you'd use a gun.
Yeah.
And so it looks like he's going to keep that going forward. I haven't noticed it in the trailers, though.
Yeah, but there are versions of Captain America over the years where he was very anti-gun. So maybe that's just a trope that's been dropped for the movies.
He has pretty good articulation. Again, no ankles, but yes, you mentioned the double hinged knees, no wrists, but ball and also elbows, good shoulders. I've been able to pose him a number of different ways without much problem.
Yep. And out of all the three build-up movie characters to get a major costume upgrade, this is the most significant costume upgrade from movie to movie. Now he's obviously in modern day and needs a modern outfit. So his is going to look the most different from his previous movie incarnation.
I also think they did a dang good job of giving it Chris Evans' chin.
You think?
I do. I think that looks a lot like Chris Evans.
I do. The nose, especially from the profile. Two against one.
And that sullen, pouty lip look, you know? It looks like he's modeling underwear with that facial expression.
Yeah, I guess it kind of does. It looks like him.
Yeah, it is a significant costume upgrade and a decent figure. You know, I'm happy again with this figure. I'm happy mostly with this line, honestly. So while I would like that extra articulation, I'm glad this figure stands, and I'm glad that the play features, with the exception of Hulk, can be thrown in a box.
Yep. Yeah, this is by far my favorite figure in the line thus far.
Well, you said that Thor was the only one you skipped, so I'm betting that you bought also the next figure, which is our Mark VII Iron Man, or as he's called here, Fusion Armor Iron Man Mark VII.
Yes, I did.
Ugh, more gold. I don't like gold.
Anti-Goldfinger.
Yeah, oh, that's creepy.
Now, without going into all the gripes about articulation once again, I will say the one thing that does bother me about this is the reactor on here seems to be missing part of the paint job.
Yeah, it's like the dot when your cell phone has water in it that they check. That's what it looks like. An indicator dot.
It needs that little blue haze around the outside of it to show you that it's a light up. But other than that,
maybe they forgot it.
It may be a running change we see down the line. One thing I've noticed with a lot of these figures is I've got a bunch that have serial numbers quite clearly printed on their leg. And they did that with the Iron Man 2 line. And then with revisions, those numbers went away.
Uh-huh.
So I wonder if this may be running changes. Remember with the Iron Man 2 also, we had the blue eyes versus red eyes, blue arc reactor versus red arc reactor. Right here, we've got, what is that, taupe arc reactor? Maybe. It honestly looks to me like I had an Iron Man and I had some whiteout at my desk and I was bored. And I have whiteout Iron Man.
But there's not even any detail to it. I mean, nothing, no relief whatsoever.
No.
Yeah. It's a real eyesore.
That's why I think that, like, the piece just didn't get attached at the factory. Somebody left, it's like step 7 was on its own piece of paper because it couldn't all fit on one piece of paper. And then they forgot to print that.
I honestly thought that I was looking at a batch that maybe had a paint error on it, and I didn't pick it up right away. And, you know, eventually after I've seen them at all the stores and every one of them I've seen like this, it's like, okay, well, this is the way it is, and I'll finally pick them up. But it's distracting to the eye. I mean, a big negative circle right in the middle of his chest.
What's funny is the repulsors on his hands match exactly the color, though, and the paint type.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, somebody forgot to print out the last piece of paper. Or there was a translation error.
Or last minute they said, okay, this is a 4-color figure, gold, silver, red, and that eggshell white, and it was supposed to have blue, and they just decided to skip the blue.
His eyes are a little blue, though. There's a little bit of blue to the eyes there.
Oh, you're right. Which also brings to mind, this is one of the better head paint jobs I've seen on an Iron Man. Like, it's got a nice black outline and a nice glowy effect to those eyes. And they even got black in the mouth, which they hadn't been doing on the Iron Man 2 line.
I hate it when I get black in my mouth.
Wow, you're lucky February's over.
One thing I'm going to say about both Iron Man figures here in the red and gold is they have this paint that I really like. It reminds me of nail polish, though. You know, it's very metallic and shiny. I'm going to warn you, don't let this figure touch any of your other figures for long.
That's right, yeah.
Because this glossy Iron Man paint bled onto my vision.
Ooh.
And it will not come out.
What was he doing on your vision?
They went out on a date.
Vision and he were standing next to each other on my work desk, and Vision had leaned back a little bit on his figure stand into Iron Man. And
I find it amusing that you're talking about them like they're real people, and they had this whole other world going on your desk. Vision leaned back, and next thing you know, he had read Oliver's cape.
Oh, man, I was thinking maybe you had a bad figure or something that just didn't cure, but I'm rubbing my Iron Man against a piece of paper, and it's coming off like a crayon.
Telling you. You know, if you keep rubbing that Iron Man, you'll go blind. Now, I have one gripe with this figure. He has a hole in his back. And why does he have a hole in his back? To accommodate the stupid accessory.
What, is that Snowflake? What the hell is that?
It's a spinning disc.
What is the point of having that? Tony Stark does not need accessories.
I mean, I could see it if it was just something he held in his hand and it's his version of Cap's shield. Oh, you have this wonderful shield that's so strong. I got energy because I'm that kind of guy. But the fact that he can snap it onto his back, I don't like that they cut a hole in a movie-accurate figure for a stupid play feature.
Yeah. You know, especially when they leave it off on figures that need it or would have a viable excuse to have it, like Captain America.
But when you're looking at it from the pig side, it looks like a snowflake.
Mm-hmm. And then the last figure that has shipped so far for the Avengers, figure number 12. Gotta have somebody for all these Avengers to assemble against. Loki.
Oh, yeah.
He's in his big horned helmet.
I love Loki in Thor. I love the actor who played Loki. He did such a great job. And he's made for evil roles, I think.
Tom Hiddleston, I presume?
Yes. This is another figure, though, Justin, where I think if they'd repacked that such hard-to-find King Loki figure, people would have been so happy to finally get King Loki. But no, it's a new Avengers Loki.
Yeah, I would have been happy with that. This looks perfectly fine, and I'm not going to gripe about the lack of articulation because he's already somebody who looks like he's going to stand, you know, in an authoritative pose, which I'm fine with. But I would like a way to hold his staff better.
Does yours have a paint error on his hands?
Yeah, it does look like he has blue fingernail polish on.
That's what I thought, is maybe Loki had painted nails at first.
Nah, I may have to replace him. He's got a paint error. He's easy to find, though. His staff was a little tricky to get into his hand there. I like the staff a lot, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got a little see-through gem on the top.
It's truly outrageous.
Which makes me think that this whole thing might be made out of the see-through transparent plastic and just painted.
Oh, wow. That's very nifty. Are you talking about the staff or the axe?
The staff.
Okay, because the axe is made of, like, this milky plastic that was painted. And as far as, you know, play features go, it's not that bad. It looks like a weapon I could see Loki using.
Yeah, it's not completely wacky like some of the others.
I think it should have been painted a different color other than flesh, though. It's very lackluster. And, you know, your evil genius is always going to have a very grand costume and very fancy. And he does have the gold and the green and the horned helmet. And then he gets this flesh-colored axe.
It is truly one of the most impressive-looking figures just in this whole wave.
It is. I like it a lot.
The gold they use, they should have used something this mm-hmm. good for Iron Man. I think it's a much better-looking gold. And the detail, the piping on his outfit, the fact that they used a soft, malleable plastic for his tabards, mm-hmm. or his front cloak, or whatever you call this piece of clothing.
And the fact that his cape, even though it's plastic molded, it's really bright green.
And he's got good hip articulation.
I guess so, yes.
It's about the only place he has good articulation, though. But, yeah, I mean, the attention to detail is great. His helmet has, if you look closely, the front of his horns have little relief lines that go up the front, and it's a slightly different color gold. It's almost a copper or bronze color on the front side of him, and gold on the back.
I think if they made the hot toy, did they make a hot toy of him?
They made one for Thor that has not yet shipped, and I'm sure they're going to make another one for Avengers. I mean,
if that's the costume from Avengers, they could make some amazing soft goods for that costume.
So that's the first two waves of Avengers, and we are only getting one other wave, right? And it's going to have Hawkeye and Black Widow and the mysterious other villain.
Yeah, from what I remember. And it's only March.
Now, I do know that while I've been able to find these figures around, they have not been as abundant as, say, Thor and Cap were last year. I think I'd actually equate it more to Cap. It seems to be like the hard-to-find figures are really hard to find. I've not found the unhelmeted Thor number 6, Loki. I had to go to many stores before I found one Loki.
Hmm. I wonder if that's an area thing, because I haven't, you know, outside of not knowing to look for the helmet that lists Thor, I haven't had any problem finding any of them. It seems to be each store has different ones left over, but, you know, from store to store, you'd be able to put together a whole set pretty easily, I would think. And with the line being out this early and the movie not being out for another month and a half or so, I'm sure shipments will continue.
Absolutely. I also bought a couple more Avengers toys in the 3¾-inch. The Stark Tech Assault Armor figures. Now, there's two of these, Iron Man and Captain America. And what they are giant mech suits. It's basically like Tony Stark had a night off and watched Real Steel and went, that would be cool.
Yeah, they're almost Hulkbuster-ish.
The Iron Man kind of is, but it is huge compared to the figure. I mean, this thing is probably 8 inches tall versus a 3-inch figure, which I think would be even a bit big for Hulkbuster. And it's got some giant guns to it.
Now, I have to admit, I've looked at these in the store, and I got pretty close to picking up the Iron Man one, but the Cap one is just a little too on the ridiculous side for me.
I'll agree with both. I kind of like the Iron Man one, although somebody pointed out that what you're doing is taking somebody and putting them in armor, and then putting that armor in more armor.
So he's extra safe.
Inception references followed.
Yo, dog, I heard you liked armor, so I put some armor in your armor.
I'm going to say something here. These aren't in any universe. Briefly, I wondered if they would be fighting Loki in the movie, because, you know, Transformers is a hit, so why not throw some Transformers in Avengers, right? They threw the sound effects in. But I'm going to say that for kids, this is one of the coolest Avengers toys I've seen, because this thing, you want to talk articulation, Justin? This thing can move any which way you want.
Yeah, that's what's kind of caught my eye. I mean, looking at them in the package, you can tell that there's some good, you know, ankle articulation there, and the arms look like they're well articulated.
And also, so much pops off of this. It reminds me kind of the new Star Wars vehicle toys they're doing, where you can swap the parts all around. But all of his guns just pop right off, so you could have more.
What's the stuff under his forearms, the blue things?
That's where his arms go.
Yeah, that's where, like, Tony Stark does
so
the
VR.
Oh,
his arms in there to control. I thought his arms went in the big... I got it now. This is hard to wrap my head around. I get it now. Okay, I see the inside. See, that's the part that was missing. Why are they blue?
Because blue's cool.
Okay.
They're translucent. That's why Justin wants it.
I'd almost assume that it's supposed to represent, like, an energy shield around where his arms are.
I would almost think hologram, because if you remember in the first Iron Man movie when he's designing the Mark II and he puts his arm in that hologram and it's kind of a blue color, a translucent blue color. So I kind of thought maybe it was a VR hologram type control system.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is, and this goes to the extra accessories for the Iron Man figures as well, but it's almost like what I'd imagine a Gundam figure to be like. I've never played with Gundam, but I've seen them. But all the motion, all the parts, it's honestly kind of was fun for me to photograph and play with because of all the different mobility it had.
Now, I think it's a little bit funny that he needs to peek out of the hole in the suit's chest to see where he's going.
Well, I guess Tony Stark would not need to know to do that, would he?
He could probably wire some cameras in. Yeah, it's funny. I honestly had thought initially the arc reactor would line up, so you had the triangle and the triangle.
Yeah.
But I bought them thinking they were silly, but they're actually kind of fun even for me.
I don't know how I feel about them. I don't know that I'd ever buy one on an impulse, because I do have some of the MU figures on my desk, but I don't know that I'd ever buy this kind of...
Yeah,
I buy a 3¾, but I don't know if I'd have this on my desk.
If it didn't come with a 3¾-inch action figure, if this was just its own line, like the Transformers crossovers, I don't think I would have been compelled to buy it. But coming in and trying to be this concept series part of the 3¾-inch figures, yeah, all the parts come off. You didn't break it.
Okay.
All the parts come off. That's the thing. Kids are going to lose these.
Well, they're pretty big pieces, though, and you didn't lose them. That's the barometer.
Now, the Iron Man one, it also kind of makes sense. But
because he's Iron Man.
The Captain America one, that Stark was like, I need a suit, and hey, Steve, why don't you try one out too?
I don't want to. Well, I'll paint it up for you.
I'll put the A on the head, but I'm also going to brand it with Stark down the leg.
Oh, well, maybe Cap isn't really good about returning stuff.
Now, from what I could tell, these are the exact same sculpt except for that little chest piece that lifts up.
Yep, and honestly, because of that, it's very hard to get the Captain America figure inside this. Iron Man, it seems like they took Iron Man and did it. Then they're like, hey, let's make up another one. Well, Thor, nah, Hulk, eh, he definitely won't fit. If you work really hard, we can squeeze this Captain America figure in there, so paint it red and blue.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch.
But he was tricky to get in. I think you said this about the vehicle last week. It actually says cockpit, so you know where the cockpit is.
Just in case he forgets.
The Cap one's very silly. They're both kind of silly, but I don't know. I'm not hating them as much as I was when I bought them just on a lark.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still considering the Iron Man one. The Cap one, probably not. But the Iron Man one, you know, you can pretend it's a out-of-universe Hulkbuster armor if you want.
I think this is a very 8-year-old boy kind of toy.
I definitely agree.
I'll be honest. I mean, I love the 3¾-inch action figures, but that does nothing for me.
See, and it takes me back to when I was 8, is what it does. And it's the fact that it's all rubbery and can move in so many different ways.
Yeah, but no, I think, Arnie, you hit it on the head with that, though. Like, if this didn't come with a 3¾-inch action figure to place inside, I wouldn't even give it a second glance, because it's just a big robot at that point.
Mm-hmm. And the Avengers toys, they hit hard with the role play, with everything. I was able to assemble my full 10-inch Avengers collection. I have a Hulk. Strangely, he comes in different packaging. All the other figures came in a window box, but this Hulk came in just like an L-shaped box, much like those 6-inch figures come. He, like the other one, has legs squeeze action, and he makes smashing sounds.
This does not sound like a smashing sound.
It sounds like Darth Vader. I squeeze in, and then I let go.
Except for that.
Yeah, it does.
I think I heard a siren in there somewhere.
You did. You say West Coast Smash?
Yeah, West Coast in the house.
What do you say, Hulk? What does Smash then?
Let's see. Hulk. Hulk Smash more.
Or Thor.
Or Thor. Okay.
I know. Want more?
Let's go Smash. Is that what he says?
Yes. Let's go.
Yeah.
At one point, he said Avengers Assemble for me, and that was weird.
I don't think the Hulk is that self-aware, is he?
Yeah, he is in the comics.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I like it. It's got a good sculpt to it with a lot of veins. He doesn't shut up. He's a talkative Hulk.
He's needy.
He's got a bit of a bulge in his khakis that's freaking me out.
Yeah.
But here's his key important feature. He is the piece of the puzzle that completes the Avengers assembling, because I mentioned in our last podcast when I just had Iron Man, Thor, and Cap, because Cap is so horribly posed, I could not make them look good. With Hulk, he is so massive, you can hide how crappy Captain America is and finally assemble them in a way that looks semi-cool.
I might argue with that just a little bit. That Cap is still looking pretty funky.
I did the best I could.
It was like, it was saying, whoa, jump back.
That one arm in the up position, it's just, and then to make him stand, he has to arch his back a little and stick out his belly.
It's like he's Vogue or something. What is up with that? It's ridiculous.
He's got.
Now, over with the Avengers toys, I ran across some Captain America slap sticks, and they're reusable gel stickers, which if you don't know what those are, is I'm sure if you work in an office, you see people who put those little, they look like fruit roll-up that they put on the windows. This is what they are. They're self-adhesive, but they're not permanent, and you can wash them when they get sticker, like those Wally crawly things that, you know, you'd wash them. They had Captain America only, which is kind of disappointing.
They've also added Thor since then in a much bigger package.
Oh, I don't want Thor. I would do Iron Man.
Hulk.
And Hulk. And Captain America. But these are really cute because you get Cap's head, his shield, him throwing his shield, and then him leaping. And they're all very cool. I'm going to take them to work and put them on my office door because I have a big clear glass office door. I think they're going to be kind of neat. Everyone else has, like, all the other girls have flowers and little bunnies. I'm going to put Captain America.
Yeah, I could see digging these. You know, these would be good even for, you know, a locker at school inside of your locker.
Totally. And they're a good size, too. They're not itty bitty tiny. I mean, Cap's probably 3¾ inch, the big one.
Nice.
How much were they, Arnie? I didn't even know. Because the first time I tried to buy them, Toys R Us had an impossible line.
They were about $5.
That's not bad.
The big Thor pack was quite a bit more expensive.
And shame on me for not checking the internet first. But they also have these in Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Iron Man. Wolverine isn't out yet, but Spider-Man and Iron Man are available on Amazon.
And one last thing about Avengers toys. When I was in the toy aisle getting your slapsticks there, I saw the Hulk hands. And we mentioned that they were smaller, and they were just wrist and hand and not forearms. And I went up and I started punching the hands because it's fun to make noise in toy aisles. They have removed the Smash electronics from them.
What?
Oh, boo.
They are just giant pieces of foam.
Well, that's stupid. Why would you want those?
Yeah, I liked them when they could punch them together and make the sounds.
God, we had so much fun with those in the toy aisle because they're there forever.
Oh, that's a bummer. Now they're just basically boxing gloves.
Pretty much. Maybe I should take those to my kickboxing class with the Hulk hands.
Your sensei will kick your ass.
Yes, he will.
Speaking of kicking ass, the cooler has struck again.
You're welcome. I gave up. I was hitting Target every day and Toys R Us because I'd heard some rumors of them being at Toys R Us. I was looking for Marvel Universe Wave 17 with Storm and Psylocke, and I found remnants of waves. I went every day, but I wasn't fast enough. That Daredevil taunted me from the pegs at Toys R Us going, ha, you missed my friends. And then the price of gas crept up, and I'm like, screw it. They're in stock at Entertainment Earth. I can get a case for $100 and then split it with somebody. And so I ordered a case. And that was about 2 days before the Avengers figures were supposed to hit. And sure enough, when the Avengers figures hit, what do I get? Text message after text message, email after email. Hey, Arnie, need Psylocke? Hey, Arnie, need Storm?
Yeah, apparently stores were holding back more than just Avengers toys for that street date, because it seemed like almost every store all of a sudden had a whole bunch of new MU stuff. And that Psylocke figure that I couldn't find for months. I mean, I felt like I found the other ones a month and a half ago and just never a Psylocke was all of a sudden everywhere.
I've only seen them at Targets myself, but I have seen them almost immediately after ordering the case.
I've personally seen them at Target, Walmart, and Toys R Us. So they are out there, and they are out there in pretty good numbers.
I think I'm resigned to it. I pay more so all of you don't have to. It's been kind of joked, but when it happened with both those Thor figures in Times Square and now MU Wave 17, well, the cooler has a theme song now. Thanks to Fiverr.com, here is the cooler song.
New toys are out that you can't find. Before you shop eBay, keep in mind
the cooler.
No price is too high for the toys he must buy.
The cooler.
He just cannot wait, so don't you berate
the cooler.
His loss is your gain, so he will always remain
the cooler.
He'll pay scalper fees. And because he's
the cooler.
Now that he's paid the high price to fulfill his vice, those toys will be everywhere. Now common, not rare. You'll find them yourself on your toy store shelf. And for all of this, you have to thank the cooler. The cooler. The cooler. 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 Cooler.
So there you go.
Well done. Well worth $5.
You'll all be very happy to know I ordered Marvel Legends Wave 2 online last week. Enjoy.
Thank you, Cooler. That's what I imagine whenever I imagine the Cooler, you know, coming back from the P.O. box with his box of toys, and the kids are like, oh, let's run to this toy store now. Thanks, Cooler.
You know what's funny is I try to talk him out of it sometimes, too, but then his reasoning is so good. And I'm like, all right, it'll just save a hassle.
Well, with the Marvel Legends Wave 2, I couldn't resist. Brian's Toys had them in stock. It was not a pre-order. It was a set, not a case, so I didn't get that spare Captain America. And there was a $15 off coupon for any in-store purchase of $75 or more. And so I got the entire wave for $105.
Not bad. Actually, that's pretty good.
I could not resist that.
I found a few of Marvel Legends Wave 2, but before we go on to that, before we get too far away from the Marvel Universe stuff, along with Wave 17 showing up, I've been seeing a lot of older, hard-to-find figures popping up again. So if you're looking for, you know, Cable without Hope, he's showing up again. I've seen Yellow Jacket, Archangel with the big wings has been pretty easy to find out there, and Havoc, and just a ton of other ones that, you know, felt like old friends showing back up on the pegs again since it's been a while since they've been out.
Yeah, I've seen some I haven't seen in ages, like Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow showing up again.
So these are, again, my Target seems to be the store that's stocking Marvel Universe. Walmart's, it's not as bad as last year when they took away all the Marvel Universe pegs, but it's close to that bad. And Toys R Us is so overstocked from before Christmas that even the buy two, get one free sale didn't help.
It sounds like your Walmart might just be just a little bit slow, because most of the Walmarts around here have started to throw out a lot of their Marvel Universe stuff. And like I said, I've seen Wave 17 there, and they're getting some of these revision cases with some different figures. That's where I actually saw Archangels at a Walmart.
Our Walmarts are seriously like the black hole, because we get everything last. We'll hear it from the coast, and it spreads on into the middle of the part of the country, and Hillbilly Land, we'll get it before we do. And we don't live in a really small town, but we have three Walmarts, and they're all supers. But it seems it's the last to hit, and I don't know why it's always the last.
It's punishment. It's the life that you must bear for being the cooler.
So pretty much anywhere we move is probably going to be the same way, because it's Arnie.
It's karmic.
Yes. So if you do move somewhere, you might want to send out a collector's notice beforehand. Just a heads up.
Do a mass mailer to all the Marvel collectors.
Also, speaking of the Marvel Universe figures, something I can't order online, but the second wave of the repacked, repainted slightly figures with the light up bases. We got the first wave of four at Toys R Us before Christmas. The second wave of four is hitting now, so you can finally complete your big Avenger circle and then wonder where the hell you're going to put it.
But it was nice to get some confirmation on what those silhouettes were. You know, I remember there being some back and forth trying to figure out who's who there, but it turns out that it is Black Widow and Black Panther, huh?
Yeah, Black Widow and Black Panther. So that makes a lot of sense to have Black Widow. They're really pushing her hard for Avengers.
Black Panther was a pretty big part of the storyline in Earth's Mightiest Heroes there for a while too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And also, if you go back to the Ultimate Avengers Blu-ray movie and those comics. So it makes sense to see them. Again, I'm hitting my Toys R Us very regularly looking for those. We still have a few Thors. Thor is the figure that didn't sell through of the first wave. I've got like six Thors sitting from before Christmas, but no sign of the second wave yet.
Well, that's because there was a Thor movie line, and then the exact same version of that Thor in the Marvel Universe line was shipping about the same time the first wave of these shipped. So it was pretty easy to get your hands on a Thor outside of paying the $17 for this one.
However, if you had to rank the Avengers, Thor would be in the last place.
True.
For popularity.
There's tiers. I actually think Hulk is last place, because
what?
If you do any collectible, it's going to be Iron Man is number one. Mm-hmm. Cap is number two. So if you do two, it's Iron Man and Cap. Thor is third. If they only make three of something, they make Iron Man, Cap, and Thor. Remember last year with the Avengers logo, we wondered where was Hulk? Hulk was left off of the line. Hulk is the fourth tier, and then you get down into Nick Fury, Black Widow, and poor Hawkeye. He doesn't even get a line in these trailers.
But maybe it's Hulk because of what it takes to build him. He's a bigger, bulkier figure, so you really want to reserve that for when you really need it. I imagine he's more expensive to make, and there might be a loss for them, even.
That could be, or it could be that Ed Norton's movie was the lowest grossing of the Marvel movies.
Oh, that could be, too.
Well, when I was at Toys R Us, I found just enough of Wave 2 of Marvel Legends to get me excited to find the rest, which I still have yet to do. So I was able to pick up one of the variant Marvel Madams, and it's the flesh-colored one, not the gold-faced one, so I'm assuming that's Madam Hydra. And she comes with Arnim Zola's torso with the Red Skull in the torso, which is pretty cool. Remember, that variant is going to be two different faces on those. And then I picked up Dark Wolverine, and now I'm thinking that this is going to be a variant too, because I have the Dakin head with the non-masked and the mohawk, but they're still calling it Dark Wolverine, and on the back, it shows the masked version of Wolverine. So that's another variant. That's two variants out of these already. And the other one I picked up was Phantom X. And I don't believe he comes with a variant, but looking at the back of this card, this wave consists of Dark Wolverine. So then we get Wrecking Crew, and we get the two members there that are going to be packed out as variants. And then we get that Ultimate Bucky, Cap, and Drax, Phantom X, the Madams, and then Spider-Man, which is a variant, both in the Big Time Spidey black and green, and then in the Future Foundation white and black costume.
In the ones I got, these are the base figures, not the variants, according to Brian's Toys. So I got Madam Hydra, so the green outfit. I got Future Foundation Spider-Man, not Big Time Spider-Man. And I got Dark Wolverine, not Dakin.
Uh-huh.
And then I got Pile Driver. So that's what I've got coming. And yeah, there's a lot of variants coming here in this one. So four of the seven figures are going to have variants, right?
Exactly. That's going to be kind of crazy, but that's kind of what makes me a little bit thankful that we're only getting three waves this year, because it might take till the middle of summer to complete all these variants on this second wave. But also it was a little bit bittersweet finding that Toys R Us at the $18 mark, and now knowing that Target and Walmart have them for $3 cheaper, like we were hoping. It's a little hard to buy them all there at the same time. So I was kind of glad that there was only three left, and I'll try to wait till they start showing up at Target for $3 less per figure.
I have heard that Wave 2 has been found at Walmart. That was posted by one of our listeners on our Facebook wall. I've not seen them, not even a single Marvel Legend. All I find for Marvel Legends, other than what I've ordered online, if I go to Toys R Us, there's two Claws and one non-variant Iron Man from Wave 1.
I did see a Claw at a Walmart that made its way into the clearance aisle already and had a $9 sticker on it. So I got a little excited and I scanned it, and it scanned full price. So turns out that it was probably just somebody misstickering generic action figures. That one wasn't meant to be.
Now, I found some cute stuff for my dog at PetSmart that is Marvel, Avengers, Fantastic Four, very cool stuff. They have a whole new line of t-shirts ranging from Captain America, which you can see my lovely dog Stanley modeling. They have X-Men. They have a Hulk. They have Avengers themed.
They have a Hulk.
I subjected all of my dogs to t-shirts from the Marvel line at PetSmart. Little Stanley got a few shirts. He got Captain America, X-Men, and a Hulk Smash shirt. Logan, who's named after Wolverine, got the Wolverine shirt.
Appropriate.
It's very cool because it says, "I'm the best there is at what I do, but what I do isn't very nice." Which is funny because my dog, Logan, is incredibly sweet and very proper, except if you make him mad, he will tear you up. And then
I should mention he's a Chihuahua.
Thanks. He's a tough Chihuahua. He's got a mean bark. Then for Cassie, who is Arnie's dog, I got her the I Love a Man in Uniform Captain America shirt. And I'd like to point out, all three dogs, well, Stanley doesn't care. It's a shirt. He's happy to just be picked up, and he's kind of not bright. But the other two dogs staged a protest and refused to move. Logan wouldn't go outside with his shirt, like the other dogs would make fun of him. They were very cute in their shirts. If you can't get your dog to wear a shirt, they also have some really cool bandanas that are Marvel themed, and they do come in small, medium, or large. Unfortunately, small was still too large for my chihuahuas. But they're really cool. Like, you can get the big A on a little bandana for your dog, or Spider-Man. Now, perhaps the most fun were the Marvel-themed toys. I picked up two toys, a crinkly Captain America and a stuffed Hulk. And the Hulk has a squeaker in his belly. The Captain America has a squeaker in his head. But here's the weird thing. He looks like Barack Obama. They have a line of other stuff. You know, they have crinkly stuff. What they make in one, they make in the others, basically. They do have one where you can stick an empty water bottle in, because I don't know about your dogs, Justin, but my dogs love to crinkle empty water bottles. And it's...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just the most annoying sound. But you can wrap them in Spider-Man or Iron Man. And it's just really long, torsoed Iron Man with a water bottle in them. They've got tennis balls, and they've got rope tug toys and frisbees. It's very cool. The dogs right now are fighting over Hulk. They love Hulk. And he's got this, like, troll doll-like hair. And they're all trying to pull his hair out.
Yeah, that Hulk doll, man. That face on there.
Oh, it's horrible.
It looks like he just realized somebody farted and he's pissed off about it. Like, oh, dude.
Yeah, it was probably one of my dogs. But yeah, they love that Hulk. That seems to be the favorite of all three of them. They fight
over it.
Mm-hmm. And when Logan gets it, Logan won't let anyone else near it. And then he lays on it so no one else can have it.
Smart dog.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty brilliant that way. But they're very cute. They're affordably priced. They're $12. The only other stuff that was available at Marvel that was dog-themed was by a company called Chihuahua. And the t-shirts alone were $60 each. And I could not justify that for my dog.
Yeah.
I love my dog, but I wouldn't even buy myself a $60 t-shirt.
No.
And
maybe.
They had the coolest dog bed Chihuahua did. I'm hoping PetSmart does it. It was a Cap America Shield round dog bed. So
cool.
If PetSmart gets on that bandwagon, the dogs may have a new bed.
Very nice.
I was at Toys R Us looking in vain for figures that I'll end up ordering online so you all can find them. And they had some summer toys out. This was right after Marjorie bought all these dog toys. They had little wagons for kids, and there was one that was Superhero Squad. And it was perfect height for our Chihuahuas, so I picked it up. Now we keep all of these Marvel toys in a Superhero Squad wagon.
It's very cute, though.
It is pretty cool looking.
So that is our giant-sized spectacular store report. But there's also online news and sales, so go to our...
Sales to Astonish!
Now, Marjorie, you took my credit cards, but even if you hadn't, you wouldn't have to worry, because our dog is going to be the biggest Logan in this house. I did not and will not buy the Legendary Scale Wolverine figure for $2,000 from Sideshow.
But why?
Holy cow.
Well, did I mention it's $2,000? Let's start on that one. That's about 12 hot toys.
Yeah.
The other thing...
Justin.
The other thing is, honestly, I don't think it looks very good.
I don't like his veiny arms.
I don't like the facial expression.
These are the ones that we saw at Comic-Con, and at this scale, they just come off creepy because they come off as miniature humans. You know, they could almost be real people that size, and there's just something weird about that.
And you know what? Having picked up the Legendary Scale Iron Man bust, which is the same scale, it's not freaky till you add arms and a body.
Yeah.
Till you have a whole person there in that scale.
They just didn't look right. There's something off with them. I'm glad you didn't buy it. For many reasons. 2,000 of them to start with, but then on top of that...
Yeah, this is something that would look cool in a comic book store, I think. But I don't know how I would fit it into my personal collection.
You know, I still think that items like this, if it's a character you love in a pose you just are fascinated with, one in a theater room or something could go. But I'm just, you know, I like Wolverine. I like the yellow and blue. But this pose, the face, you said Hulk looked like he smelled a fart. Take a look at this Wolverine.
He looks very unhappy. He's literally got a frown on.
It also, it either looks like he smelled something nasty or he forgot to put his dentures in that day.
Yeah, his lips are awfully pursed.
I don't mean to ridicule this thing because it is marvelously detailed. The veins in the arms, they aren't to my aesthetic, but they're really well detailed. The stubble on the chin is amazing detail. You get what you pay for.
You can't deny that it's a good product.
No.
However, it's just not my style, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's just the one-half scale thing just freaks me out. I love their Iron Man that we saw at Comic-Con, if it wasn't the size of a child. The paint, the color, the detail.
Hey, look at my little Iron Man.
It's like a five-year-old in the best Halloween costume ever.
Yeah. That would freak you out if you forgot you had it in the room. You know, you walk in like, oh, little person. Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. It's my legendary scale Iron Man. Forgot about that. Okay.
Life-size things do that, too. I have a couple life-sized collectibles in the house, and they freak you out for a good 2 months.
The Yoda, because it has, like, human-looking eyes, and it used to sit in our living room. So I'd get out of the bedroom and go down the hall in the morning, and I wouldn't turn on any lights until I got to the living room. And there'd be these weird glowing eyes. Had to move on.
But, yeah, I'm not a fan of the one-half scale, is what it comes down to, for a full-body figure. I still really like that Iron Man we reviewed last show, but I'm much more comfortable at the 2 foot and under size.
Non-human size?
Where they came out with the premium format Storm from Sideshow. And this thing's very cool. 20 inches. It's got a fabric black cape, interchangeable hands.
She's got, like, the best body ever. I imagine she's being pre-ordered heavily and then perhaps fantasized about.
It's a sexy outfit.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah. She's Babelicious in this.
She
with
is.
Her fabric.
Yeah.
But they've really tried to up their game with these premium format figures. A fabric cape that looks like it has a wire in it so it really flows. In addition to being Babelicious, it's actually really, really well done. The face is marvelous and it's a great piece, I think. I'm not a big enough Storm fan to order it, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, same here.
Then Bowen came out with 3 new items this past week for pre-order. There's the Captain America action statue, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. It looks like he's punching through a wall and about ready to really knock the crap out of somebody with his shield.
Yeah, standing on that broken piece of tank or Hummer or whatever it is.
Then there's a Captain Marvel statue. This is one we talked about a little while ago that really is very cool. He's got that metallic type of paint for the outfit, and it looks like he's flying away from a planet there. And there's the translucent bits that really make it look like he's hovering above it. Bowen does such a good job with that.
Yeah, that one's really cool.
And if you prefer your X-Men a little bit classic, you can get Marvel Girl, Jean Grey, before she was known as the Phoenix. Considering their 14-inch scale X-Men there. And again, great detail. More and more, ever since we got MODOK, I'm appreciating Bowen. And I just ordered my second Bowen item.
Really?
We saw it in New York at Jim Hanley's Universe. There was a 14-inch full-size Black Widow statue that was very nicely done, but it wasn't on sale or anything. I felt I could get it cheaper online. I came home, found it was actually $100 cheaper at Jim Hanley's Universe than eBay. So I called up Jim Hanley and just ordered it over the phone.
There you go. The cooler pays off for himself.
And a couple other items online. Sideshow, they must be clearing out a warehouse. They put up a couple of legendary scale busts that have been sold out for a long time. They put up the Colossus bust, which after the Iron Man, I'm very open to these busts. I looked at the Colossus. He was just a bit too angular. They just didn't go off of the 80s type art, which is where I'm nostalgic for Colossus.
Yeah.
I just didn't think he'd fit in very well with my collection. But what I did jump at without any hesitation was the Spider-Man legendary scale bust. This has been sold out forever, and they got 6 back in. And I was able to snag one of those. Ever since we reviewed that Iron Man one, I'd been wanting the Spider-Man one. We'd seen it at Jim Hanley's Universe in the past when we went to New York this last time. I was secretly hoping when we went that they'd still have that Spider-Man there. And they'd sold out. It was long sold out online, but I was able to get it straight from Sideshow. And that's one of the mysterious boxes that'll be on our doorstep soon. Another one, I just yesterday got my notice my Hot Toys Iron Man Mark II, the upgraded version 2.0 Ultimate Edition armor has shipped.
Ooh, very nice, which just means that we're going to have to start getting on our backlog of want-to-show Hot Toy reviews.
I may have to do two. I now have both Mark IIs, so maybe I can do a side-by-side comparison.
There you go.
And now it's time for...
This just in. News from the web!
DC's really ramping it up on Cartoon Network. I don't know if you've noticed that at all.
Yep, and Marvel's firing back in April, if you care. They're doing the Marvel 2-hour block every Sunday.
Nice.
They're going to have the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. I mean, Ultimate Spider-Man's one that's always been really good, and I like that writer, Brian Michael Bendis. He's the writer of the comic from issue 1. He's writing the series, too.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
And they just announced the programming block. It's going to be Ultimate Spider-Man. And then there's going to be Fury Files, which are going to be video dossiers on key Marvel heroes, Marvel mashups. The Marvel Universe is turned upside down with hilarious and unexpected takes on iconic Marvel heroes and villains featuring classic animation edited with a comedic twist. Animated reality, stunt and special effects experts showcase the epic movies of the favorite Marvel superheroes, including Captain America and Spider-Man. What would it take? A glimpse into the science and modern tech required to create the heroes' gadgets and abilities. And Master Class, where Joe Quesada explains the artist vision behind the Marvel greatest superheroes and shows how artists bring them to life.
Nice. That's almost an exact mirror of what DC is touting.
Yeah, it's going to be on the Disney XD starting Sunday, April 1st. So.
Oh. Nice.
I'm going to be TiVoing it. It sounds like an actual, you know, pretty interesting block there. And the last Spider-Man cartoon was so good, but it was canceled because of the sale to Disney. So I'm hoping this one's as good. And with Bendis writing, I have reason to think it might be.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the reason I brought it up is because, like, I've been seeing this, you know, push on Cartoon Network for DC. And one of the things I really thought was clever of them is, like, they're showing all these different shows, and then they talk about how there's going to be, you know, talk to the artists and stuff like that. But then they also talk about fandom, and they show shots of, like, you know, Comic-Con and stuff. That's awesome for kids to see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, most kids don't know about that.
Yeah, that's very true. I hadn't even thought about that. I wonder if this will do some of that.
I hope so, because, like, that to me was brilliant. It's like, wow, you're creating little fans, you know, showing them that there's other people out there that are cool with this rather than just, you know, you sitting at home watching it on TV.
There was something that came out. Continuing with Bowen, I'm not really much of a mini-bust guy. My Throg mini-bust did ship. I'm into the Gentle Giant Pet Avengers, but mostly I'm kind of staying away from mini-busts. Again, just not my aesthetic, but there's one I may have to pick up. They're doing Maestro Hulk, and this is from a very old Peter David comic, Future Imperfect, where the Hulk travels to the future and, spoiler alert, meets himself as an old man who's taken over the world.
All right.
It's a cool-looking bust. It's almost got like a half animation style to it with the way the beard looks to be sculpted.
Yeah, I could see that. Kind of like that Star Wars Clone Wars series with the angular hair.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of it looks realistic. I mean, the arms look realistic, and they're not, you know, squared off, polyagonal type of things, but that beard is very well stylized, almost anime.
Now, they posted this on Bowen's site. Bowen's site is actually unlike any I've ever seen, because Randy Bowen comes out and just is like, he posted two. He's like, would you want this figure with or without arms? And based on what people say is what he makes.
Nice.
And he's done that with several pieces, and I've been posting the polls more and more on our Facebook page. There was one where they were doing a Scarlet Witch statue, and they're like, which outfit of Scarlet Witch would you like? Would you like the one where she's showing more flesh, one where she's wearing the pink undersuit? But I gotta say, I'm just such a fan of Peter David's Hulk run and that Future Imperfect comic in particular. If they come out with the Maestro and he has arms, it may be my one and only mini bust for the collection.
Yeah, the arm version is way cooler than without.
If they do it without arms, I'll just consider it a missed opportunity.
Last show, we talked about those Kawaii Marvel iPod Touch cases. I fell in love with the art. Bummed it wasn't available for the iPhone 4.
Maybe they'll do something for the iPad 3.
I hope so, because I have to have these. Apparently in Japan, at Mos Burger, you could get a whole set of 6 of the tumblers with this art on it, and it's just amazing. If anybody lives in Japan and can get these, I would be so grateful and make tell me where I can buy these. I have looked all over the internet. I've looked all over eBay. I cannot find these whatsoever. But they're so cute. There's Cap, Thor, Iron Man, Wolverine, Hulk, and Spider-Man. And they're just adorable.
Now, I had never heard of Mossburger, so I had to go and look up what a Mossburger is. Their specialty is the Moss Rice Burger, which has a bun made of rice, barley, and millet.
They're veggie burgers.
And the Moss Rice Burgers currently include the Fresh Seafood Shrimp Fritter Rice Burger, the Fried Burdock and Carrot Rice Burger, or the Grilled Pork and Ginger Rice Burger.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to be eating any of those.
In other news, you know, I was just going through and totaling up how much I spent last year on Marvel collectibles, and I entered a receipt from a Family Dollar. And it made me think, thank God I don't have to go to Family Dollar. And I thought I'd share that thought with others, and so I went to Facebook and posted, aren't we all just glad we don't have to go to Family Dollar?
I, for one, am.
It was a dark time, wasn't it?
It was.
I was moving and yet driving hours on lunches to go to crappy stores in ghettos.
In days before Christmas, where some of the weirder shoppers start to pop their heads up.
One of my Family Dollars is literally sharing a building with a plasma donation center.
That's the best one. Although, I will say the one over that has the big bars on the window is a close second.
Yeah. But then somebody posts, and at first I thought they were joking. No, there's another set of exclusive Family Dollar figures.
Sort of. Now, these might be pretty skippable for your casual collectors, but if you are an Iron Man or a Captain America completionist, you may be tracking yourself to Family Dollar stores again soon. Because from what I can tell, I have yet to see it myself, but from the pictures I've seen, it looks like they've taken some of the old vehicle pack-in figures, like Iron Man and Captain America. And I heard, is there a Spider-Man?
Yeah, because those are the ones that had vehicle pack-ins, Spider-Man. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, they look like the vehicle pack-in figures just put on a smaller card in a bubble without all the fancy cardboard inlays and everything. And I'm not sure what the price is. So I don't know, Arnie. I may leave it to you to start braving the Family Dollar stores again, because I have very little to no interest in any of those figures.
I may leave it to our listeners. I just don't see myself going to Family Dollars. Here's the thing, is I think about it. I think about it, and I'm like, well, if I get some time today, maybe on my way home I'll go to Family Dollar. But lately I have been so busy taking pictures of Avengers figures and whatnot that I have not had any time. I've been busy posting reviews one a day of the Incredible Hulk TV series on the Venganza Media Gazette. I just haven't had the time to go to Family Dollar. I've had the time to go to Toys R Us every day, so it does say something about priorities.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm kind of glad that they're not in, you know, the Marvel Universe line. These are something completely different that we can pretend like they never existed and never know the difference, you know. And plus, they're also hitting at a time when there's plenty of other stuff to go looking for.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I will ever go through the hunt I went through for the last ones for these, but there are
Thanksgiving Day.
There is a Family Dollar that I have to drive past as part of my job on a regular basis. And the next time I have to do that function of my job, I may stop and poke my head in. And if it's there, well, I've gone through the trouble of walking in, I'll probably walk out with them.
You know, we can go anytime. It's not far.
But mentally, it's a taxing journey.
It is.
It really is. It just takes me back to those dark days in December when I canceled all my pre-orders and I felt like the new house was going to take all my money, and I just was a horrible time. I don't want to go back to Family Dollar. Don't make
for
me go
you,
back to Family
it's terrible
Dollar.
Time for me.
We'll try again in a year, Family Dollar.
Family Dollar, it's not me, it's you.
See, I work really in a bad area of town because I work by a Dollar General. So that's like lower than Family Dollar.
Now that David Vonner's gone, that's where the next Marvel Universe exclusives will be.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything lower than Dollar General, is there? Big Lots. I
work Dollar Tree?
That's only a dollar store, though. It's a true dollar store.
Yeah, Big Lots is pretty bad.
Big Lots exclusive wave. Now, I found something that, Justin, you may want to get for your wife.
Or yourself.
Or yourself. My brother paints his toenails, too, so, you know, it's all right.
You said two as if we just assume Justin does.
I'm sure he does.
You're pretty fashionable.
Are your toes painted?
Well, not currently.
And my brother's toenails are painted because he has a little girl, and Lily likes to paint my brother's toenails. And you have a little girl.
He painted them before he had a little girl.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? I come from a really weird family.
There might be a little bit of paint in my fingernail cuticles left, you know. But
see?
It's the price you pay for having a 7-year-old.
I bet. Absolutely. Well, I found Spider-Man-themed nail polish by OPI, which I know you guys don't know anything about nail polish, but OPI is like the gold standard. They have great names for their nail polish. Well, they've got a line of polish that is tying in with the Amazing Spider-Man movie, which I know we haven't talked about much because Avengers right now is on our radar, but they have a line of nail polishes that are coming out in May, and I've really got to buy some of these. They got great names. That's some of their, that's OPI's thing, is they have the best names for their colors. The first one, they've got Your Web or Mine, which is a good Spider-Man red. Then they've got Call Me Gwenever, which is kind of a coral color. Into the Night, which is a midnight blue, but I don't think it's like completely the Spider-Man blue, and I don't think the red is completely the Spider-Man red, but no one's going to really look at your nails and criticize you for that.
I would.
I know you would. Then for the Lizard, they've got Just Spotted the Lizard, which is a green. Number One Nemesis, which is kind of a blackish silver. And then lastly, My Boyfriend Scales Walls, which is pure white. And then
I'm surprised they don't have My Boyfriend Has Scales for the Lizard.
Does he have a girlfriend? See?
He was married in the comic.
Then, to complete it, they have what's called shatter polish, where you paint it over a color and it looks like it's solid and then it kind of crackles and shatters. They have one called Shatter the Scales. It's kind of like a weird iridescent green that to go over all these colors as well. And these come out in May. OPI, you can't buy like at Walgreens or CVS. You have to go to like Ulta or Sephora to get it or your local nail salon.
Well, that's cool. I might have my wife look into that for me. I kind of want some cracked fingernails.
Oh, don't. It's totally neat. Out.
Oh.
Yeah. It's, now, my niece loves it because you can actually see it crack. So your little girl might like it. But yeah, adults don't wear it anymore.
I'll bring it back. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Finally, for our last piece of online news, in mid-April, Marjorie, you and I are headed to C2E2.
We are.
This will be our second year going. It's from Reed Pop, who do the Star Wars celebrations. They did New York Comic Con. It was a very fun con last year, good for shopping. Mm-hmm. But this year, I may be spending a little bit more than last year.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about this. I'm not going to really mince words. I'm really nervous about this.
They are having an auction for real movie props from Marvel films, primarily Captain America and Thor.
Uh-oh. Hide the wallets.
Now, these are true one-of-a-kind collectibles, and you will be able to bid online if you're not there. But it's not like eBay. It's through profiles in history. They do a lot of these. Let me tell you some of the items that just kind of catch my eye and the prices that they're estimated to go for, because unlike eBay, they actually kind of appraise these things ahead of time. Something just small, just something to say I had something from one of the movies. They have a portrait of the Red Skull, a painted picture of the Red Skull that they only expect to go for $200 to $300. This one would be nice, but I just don't see myself spending it. They have the Hero Captain America shield encased in ice. It's a resin. It's not really ice that was used in the film.
Yeah, because it would be hard to transport if it was really ice.
But they expect that to go for $4,000 to $6,000. It's nice. It's a little high for my tastes.
Yeah. I could almost make you something that looks like that for way less.
But it wasn't on screen.
Yeah, I see that's where the problem's going to be, Justin.
There are some cosmic cubes that were used in the movie that are going to go for $1,000 to $1,500, they think. And they have a lot of smaller stuff. Like, if you just want, I love this, Steve's Hero peanut packets from the World Expo. And the Hero means that, you know, they're the ones used in close-ups. But when he was eating peanuts at the World Expo, in close-up, they used these bags. There's two of them, and they are expected to go from $100 to $200.
We're not buying those.
I'm kind of digging the hard rubber Luger. Those might be kind of fun to pick up just to say that you bought a hard rubber Luger.
There's a lot of costumes here that they expect to just go for a few hundred dollars, a number of weapons. The thing that really get me, I could see myself bidding on this one. Steve Rogers USO stage shield. It's the classic one. It's the full size
right
shield. Yeah, hang it right on the wall. $2,000 to $3,000 for a life-sized in-movie shield from Cap America.
Do they take credit cards?
Yeah, but I have cash.
Okay.
Again, for a couple...
And so it begins.
Or instead of just the old-timey one, they also have the one from the Hydra Factory they think will go for $2,000 to $3,000. The silver prototype shield for $3,000 to $5,000.
And maybe the weirdest of them all, if you remember back to before when Captain America came out and seeing some of the pre-production shots, and we saw Chris Evans running down the street, but as he was standing there, you could tell that his feet looked weird because he was supposed to be running barefoot, and they have the prosthetic feet that he wore in that scene.
How much is the expected price for Chris Evans' fake feet?
Estimated at $300. Now, that's $150 a foot. That's a bargain.
Especially for fetishists.
Yeah, you can get some Chris Evans sweat inside of those boots.
Oh! You realize that somebody's going to be all over that.
What about the USO Dancing Girls costumes?
How much is that going to go for?
$200 to $300.
That's not bad.
No, I mean, you would spend $300 making that costume, realistically.
Probably.
I know cosplayers. They spend a lot on their cosplay. Plus, there's just little things, you know. If I walk out of there and the shields go for too much, I could just pick up, like, a War Bonds poster for $100 and call it a day.
Yeah.
So check this out, and maybe you'll end up with a Luger.
A hard rubber Luger.
Speaking of these Avengers movies, with the upcoming release of the Avengers film, Stuart, Jacob, and I have been watching and reviewing all films based on Marvel Comics characters on the Now Playing Podcast, which you can hear at nowplayingpodcast.com. After spending several weeks looking at the TV incarnation of the Hulk in various TV movies, we've finally gotten to the Hulk's theatrical release, Hulk, directed by Ang Lee. I had some problems with that film, which you'll be able to hear me discuss in detail at nowplayingpodcast.com, but there were also things about it I liked, and as such, I wanted to delve deeper into the movie's story by reading the novelization of the Hulk. Now, normally this isn't something I'd undertake. The last time I did this was for Howard the Duck, and you can hear my review of that book in Marvelicious Toys issue 11 in our archives. But Hulk was a bit special, as I noticed the novelization was written by Peter David. As I've mentioned on this show many times, David is a well-known comic book writer, and his current run on X-Factor gets high marks. I've long been a fan of his. His Star Trek The Next Generation novels were the best I'd read back in the 80s and 90s, and every time a new Peter David Star Trek novel was announced, I paid close attention even long after I stopped regularly reading Trek fiction. Later, in the early 90s, I discovered his work on The Incredible Hulk and I loved it. I went back and devoured all his back issues through trades and whatever means I could, and the same wit and intelligence he brought to Star Trek he put in his Hulk run. To me, the time Peter David spent on Hulk created the definitive Hulk comics. He turned the Hulk gray and then green again, and really explored the multiple personality disorder experienced by Bruce Banner as a result of the abuse by his father. For a comic about a muscular guy who likes to smash things, it blew me away. Given that much of the emotional turmoil Bruce Banner has in the film version of Hulk, I really was interested in David's take on the material. I'd read novelizations of comic movies before where nods to the comic book universe had been made, and I really wondered if David might try to retcon some of the events in the movie to better fit his comic book lore. Surprisingly, I did not find many references to the comics. While some names from the comics are used, such as General Ross's base being called Desert Base, no cameos from Hulk supporting characters happen, nor any minor alterations to the events seen in the movie to better fit the comic origins. David is very faithful to the screenplay written by James Shamus and Michael France and John Turman. The story tells of Bruce Banner, an emotionally repressed scientist working on technology that can rapidly heal wounds, when a lab accident occurs, and Bruce is exposed to both the nanomeds he was developing as well as a severe dose of gamma radiation. This would have killed most people, as it did the dozens of frogs on which Bruce and his lab partner, ex-girlfriend Betty Ross had experimented, but Bruce was different. His father, David Banner,
was a scientist as well, working for the military on a project to protect soldiers from biological weapons. When General Ross, head of the base, refused to allow David to experiment on human subjects, David secretly experiments on himself and causes a genetic mutation that he passes down to his son, Bruce. As a baby, when Bruce would get angry, his skin would distend and turn a grayish sort of green. But now as an adult, the exposure to the nanomeds and gamma alter Bruce's body chemistry. Now, whenever he gets angry, he transforms to the Hulk, a giant brutish creature with a child's intelligence. Such a destructive presence, General Ross and the army try to capture the creature, while ex-military officer turned private sector businessman Glenn Talbot wants to capture the Hulk to study and create super soldiers. But at the same time, Bruce's father returns into his life. Released from the insane asylum after 30 years, he wants to continue his experimentation on his son. When he sees what his son has become, he uses his son's DNA to experiment on himself and turns himself into a being that can take on the properties of anything he touches. The story plays out in David's novel almost exactly like that in the movie. And if you've seen the movie, you know there are some gaping inconsistencies. Some things happen in the movie that just don't make any sense. For example, it is an incredible coincidence that General Ross and David Banner used to work together at Desert Base. And then, decades later, their children, Betty Ross and David Banner, work together at a lab in Berkeley, but neither is even aware that they used to live in the same town and possibly even played together on a playground. Also, not once but twice in the movie, Glenn Talbot shows up and just starts to beat up Bruce. In the movie, the first time it happens is just random and nonsensical. The second time comes off as immensely stupid. From the malfunction of the machine that shoots Bruce with gamma rays, to the question of if Bruce's body could even protect his fellow lab tech, to why Bruce's father was released from prison ever after blowing up a military base and presumably killing dozens if not hundreds of people, Ang Lee's Hulk movie doesn't even try to be logical. Things just happen. But Peter David is a smart writer, and I've never read any of his works that had an effect without a cause. Sure enough, it seems David saw the same problems with the plot that I did. While David's Hulk novelization is the same as the movie, he's gone in and kind of patched some of the major plot holes in clever and inventive ways that help give a why to the events. For example, in the movie we start with David Banner's experiments through his being discovered by Ross and blowing up Desert Base, and then we just cut to Bruce Banner as an adult. But in the novel, we have scenes in between there. We get scenes of a teenage, rebellious Betty Ross living with her father, and we're shown the struggles that lead to their estranged relationship as adults depicted in the film. We also get to see her introduction to a young Glenn Talbot, how their meeting was set up by her father as a type of arranged marriage, Ross wanting his daughter to marry a proper military man. But Betty also gets to see through Talbot and establish him early on as a greedy opportunist. As Talbot is one of the major antagonists in the film, this novel gives him a reason for being antagonistic. And David explores this more. He makes Talbot more sinister and morally questionable. In the movie, he's a pure capitalist working for Archimax, a government contractor, but David explores more about Archimax. And in the novel, it's not just any contractor, but rather a front for a shadow organization that's involved in numerous shady black ops type projects for the government. Through Archimax, Talbot has actually been keeping tabs on Bruce through his teenage years. It turns out, Bruce wasn't just released into the adoption system placed with any random stranger, but instead, the government knew that David Banner was dangerous and doing strange experiments, so Bruce was placed with a CIA agent who posed as his mother. Talbot and Archimax used these CIA connections to manipulate Bruce's entire life, as well as Betty's. Knowing Bruce is unstable when angry, and knowing from his romantic history that Betty can drive anyone nuts, Talbot maneuvered their career so the two would reunite at Berkeley. Here, Talbot is shown as cold and calculating. When he goes into Bruce's house and starts to pummel the puny scientist, in the movie, Talbot is spouting lines unsubstantiated by anything in the film, like, "How dare you go to Ross and try to cut me out?" In David's novel, this is shown as an intentional move by Talbot to confuse Banner and get a reaction from the scientist. Now, is it a perfect fix that Talbot was intentionally being nonsensical? No. But at least it's an attempt. As for Bruce Banner and his father, David Banner, their motivations are explored in far greater detail. Bruce's emotional repression is shown in the film, But in the novel, we get to see his inner thoughts, examining his emotional attachment and the way it destroyed his relationship with Betty. Peter David does take one major comic book liberty with Bruce, though. He repeatedly describes Bruce as a 90-pound weakling, the classic comic book interpretation of the character. After all, it's more unexpected when the puny guy who gets sand kicked in his face suddenly becomes a strong giant, right? Honestly, the perfect casting for a comic book version of Bruce Banner would be, hear me out on this, DJ Qualls, the geek from Road Trip and The New Guy. Not Eric Bana, not Ed Norton, not Mark Ruffalo, but DJ Qualls. The problem is, he's not a handsome leading man that can bring in the female viewers who don't want to see a comic book movie. Eric Bana is. So, despite being 6'2" and weighing about 165 pounds of muscle, and despite the fact that it looks like he easily could have given Talbot a run for his money in a fight, Bana is who was cast. As for David Banner, in the film, we're left to our own interpretations about his motivations. Was he a loving father out to save his son, or a narcissistic megalomaniac only seeking to improve himself, even if it meant hurting or even killing his son? In the book, we see it's very much the latter. David Banner hates Bruce. He sees Bruce as an abomination. And though he originally loved his wife very much, David came to hate her as well, as she's the cause for Bruce's very existence. Peter David's depiction of David Banner is a standout in this book, and reading this has really helped me gain a greater appreciation and understanding of this book's villain. But unfortunately, Peter David can only do so much with what he's given, and the action of the movie prevents Peter David's additions from ever having any payoff. They help explain why, but they don't make the events of the movie much more satisfying for those things. And the end of the movie, which I found to be very abstract and nebulous, is something even David cannot explain away. He tells us what happens, the same as if he were transcribing events from the screen, but he can't provide much more in the way of insight into David Banner's final transformation and ultimate fate. I do applaud Peter David's novelization of Hulk for trying to fill the gaps left in the original film, and David's dialogue and prose are both fun to read, a Peter David hallmark. He interjects some fun into this book through his writing style, and that's fun that's sorely missing from much of the actual film. But still, it's a novelization and a faithful adaptation at that. So if you despise the movie, this book's not going to make a convert of you. I do have to question one scene. It's minor in the scope of the book, but it had a major impact on me. Near the end, when the Hulk is rampaging through Berkeley, Peter David makes a reference to 9/11, discussing how the devastation the Hulk causes and the chaos that ensues is like Manhattan when the Twin Towers fell. And oof. While I try not to be overly sensitive about references to the Twin Towers, and I think it was insensitive to digitally erase them from Spider-Man the way the producers did on that film, I also think, when you're talking about a superhero movie, the real-world points of reference need to be appropriate. I get that this was written only a year after 9/11, and the impact of 9/11 was so deep, and may have been so deep in Peter David's psyche, that it was the parallel he drew, but I feel it was too extreme and too soon. But it's one instance, it happens one time, I don't want to blow it out of proportion, just one thing that really pulled me out of this book. That said, I enjoyed reading this book so much, I'm going to continue with David's other Marvel Universe movie novelizations. Next up is Iron Man, David's adaptation of the original Iron Man film. Then the same year, David's adaptation of the Incredible Hulk movie adaptation was released. David again adapting a movie based on his most famous comic run. So you'll be able to hear my reviews of these future novels right here on Marvelicious Toys. And don't forget to head to nowplayingpodcast.com to hear Stuart, Jacob, and I review these Marvel movies.
And I have a legitimate question for you. Now, DJ Qualls.
DJ Qualls.
Tell me you had to look that guy's name up, and that's not just somebody you know his name.
I know his name.
Yeah, I know his name. I own...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. I just never would think that's a name that's going to stick in my head.
Well, I was a big Lost fan. He had a little bit part on that. But I started thinking, who's the puniest guy I've ever seen in a theater? Who's the smallest, tiniest armed guy? And it's DJ Qualls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you nailed it. Call the casting director.
Ruffalo's in trouble. Arnie says Qualls. Now, if you want to continue hearing reviews of Hulk books, I did review Lou Ferrigno's autobiography, My Incredible Life as the Hulk, over at booksandnachos.com. I'll link to that review from marvelicioustoys.com.
Do they have that one on book on tape as read by?
Oh, God.
Lou Ferrigno reads My Life as a Hulk.
Here's the funniest part. I'm pretty sure it was transcribed from tapes because I go into it in the review. So somewhere that exists. Awesome. In my, I am pretty sure.
And then do you tell the story about how you had to buy it?
It's in the review too. All right. All of it's over at booksandnachos.com. And if you still want to dig deeper with the Hulk, head to the Venganza Media Gazette. One Hulk review per day. It's not as easy as it sounds, folks. And honestly, if you read no other, check out my review of Married that was posted last Saturday morning. There's a swingers bar. The Hulk picks up a guy by his chest hair to prevent group sex. I can't make this up.
Hulk doesn't like group sex.
What's it called?
It's called Married.
Married?
Married. It is the only episode of the Hulk to win an Emmy.
Wow.
But it goes to some weird places.
Oh, brother. Much like this show has kind of gone to some weird places, huh? I think we have one more weird place to go before we say goodbye, right?
I think so. We promised an Avengers song a week, and we're not going to just cheap out and only give you the cooler song.
Nope.
We have an Avengers song for you.
Superpowers, I'd shoot fireballs from my hands for hours upon hours. And now that I'm older and my imagination's run dry, I'll just go to the movies to see Robert Downey Jr. fly and watch Bruce Banner smash stuff and Captain America do work. Scarlett Johansson in a skin-tight suit is another pretty big perk. So we'll go to the theater and see everyone dress up, paying tribute to Stan Lee in the universe that he thought of. So let's go. The storm of merchandising will hit us in an absolutely biblical way. We'll have mountains of action figures, lunchboxes and pajamas too. You'll be sure to bleed your wallet dry before you can buy the Hulk shampoo. So let's go.
So that one was from Fiverr musician T. Hallett. T-H-A-L-L-E-T-T. I had to pay him $5 for the song. I don't know why I'm advertising these people, but I'll let you know where you can go get songs. So that is the end of our 36th issue. When we get back, I still have more Avengers toys we didn't even have time to get to yet. The Avengers mini mugs, the Quinjet, the deluxe figures with Cap on his parachute.
And Iron Man missing the front part of his chest.
So until next time, true collectors,
make mine marvelicious.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving a positive review for the show on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, marvelicioustoys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade with the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at marvelicioustoys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4 or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@marvelicioustoys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Podcast enhancement by Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Announcements by Brock. The Marvelicious theme song, Bam Pow Kablam, is composed by Joe Harrison. See more of Joe's work at www.StarWarsFanWorks.com/Lion's Mouth. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered weekly at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at SWActionNews.com. Marvel Comics and all of the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2012, all rights reserved.
Hey, if you want to see something kind of funny, and Marjorie, you can look at this too. Go into the MT-36 Arnie folder. When that's loaded, scroll down about two-thirds of the way to the jaw-dropping Hulk. All right, but then look at the pictures I have of him holding Iron Man, and I had no... I honestly didn't know Iron Man was grabbing Hulk's crotch.
Hey, Hulk, what's up?
Can you turn your head and cough?
So now we know. Iron Man does give the courtesy of a reach around.
I really didn't know. I was in a hurry.
What's that pose supposed to be anyway? Like Hulk collecting Iron Man? I have one Iron Man.
Hello and welcome to another issue of Marvelicious Toys. I'm Marjorie.
He's supposed to be Arnie.
Hold on. We don't have the webcam on, so you couldn't see me put my finger up.
Not psychic.
What is that?
I don't know.
Why don't you go get yourself a bottled water and rinse your mouth out?
She can't do the dishes anymore.
I've been telling you that for a long time.
Was there something gross in her drink?
Yeah, as you were talking, she regurgitated a mouthful of water when she noticed floaties. He won't shut up once I push that button, and I didn't mean to push that button. All right, Hulk. Enough.
You guys often call the hammerhead? I've never heard it referred to.
Just thinking of the line from Real Genius. Guess you'll have to hammer later. Thor, can you hammer a 6-inch spike through a board with Mjolnir?
No, but I'm working on it.
Call me when you can.
Arnie just keeps rubbing the shaft up and down.
Stop it.
I can play with my Thor whenever I want.
Ow! What's shooting things at my face?
And that's what she said.
That looks like that could hurt, too.
That's what she said. And some of these angles where you don't see the blade at the top look very, very wrong. I'm not sure what he's trying to do here.
Where are you looking?
Just like a side shot where the blade isn't facing the camera, and it just looks like a big pole coming from his waist. And thus his nickname, Sword Spike Thor.
Reactor Armor Man. Now, this is the one figure I can peg as a repaint, because this is just a repaint of the other Thor figure. They're just like, we'll throw some blue here, we'll throw some black here. Well
that's
an
impressive repaint, then, if they repainted Thor to look like this.
Did I say Thor?
Yeah.
I don't know what Justin's doing. It sounds like he's playing with his Hulk.
I'm scrolling, trying to find Strike Shock Hulk. Or Thor. Which one is that?
He's the one that has the big... Alright, I'll say... And here he is in his big horny outfit. You guys are too easy.
Yeah, we are.
Strangely, he comes in different packaging than the others. The others all came in like this. All right, okay.
Yeah, no. He keeps talking for like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, Hulk. The others... Okay, Hulk. Hulk keeps stepping on my lines. The others all came in like a window box, but Hulk... Oh my god, I'm never going to get to talk about Hulk. My spelling looks like I really screwed up that Sales to Astonish. That's what I get for sending a Sales to Astonish newsletter in a meeting. Fabric black cape with B-R-I-C-K. And interchangeable hands. What the hell is wrong with me? I look like...
I like that it's the exclusive edition.
It's awful exclusive-y.
I think that's exclusive-y.
Is it French? Yeah, this is just... What the hell were you thinking?
I don't know. I was in a hurry. I was late.
That's great.
I would rip someone a new one for sending this. I'm not ripping myself a new one internally.
Perhaps you need an editor.
Yeah, she's Babelicious in this.
She
with
is.
Her fabric.
Yeah. Fabric.
Fabric.
Are you okay?
I don't. I'm embarrassed, is what it is. I am embarrassed by
there's
that.
There's this awesome thing called spell check. Would have caught all three of those. Learn it, live it, love it.
Oh, Captain Marvel statue.
Oh, jeez.
What is wrong with you?
Was I going phonetically? Was I spelled...
Did you use Siri for this? Oh, he's in there twice.
Did I do it twice?
Yep, and Jean Grey, A-Y.
God. They're doing Maestro Hulk, or is it Maestro? M-A-E-S-T-R. Maestro, right?
Maestro. Maestro. And I heard, is there a Spider-Man?
I believe so. Let me check our page.
It says Spider-Man.
I put it in the notes, and I was pretty sure.
Yeah. Let's just go with Spider-Man.
Let's just make it up.
Let's just make them up. Send people to Family Dollar stores.
Yeah, because those are the ones that had vehicle pack-ins. Spider-Man. Yeah.
Right. And I'm not sure what the price is.
Bless you.
Woo. Is that the price?
Yes. Wow. That came out of nowhere.
Nail polish by OPI, which I know you guys don't know anything about nail polish, but OPI is like the gold standard.
I know OPI because my favorite stripper wore I'm Not Really a Waitress OPI nail polish.
Yeah, she did. They have great names for their nail polish.
I can't believe you just said that you wanted to go a little bit beyond Howard the Duck. What? How do you go a little further beyond Howard?
By reading the novel.
The cooler, he's such a sorry boy, buys expensive toys online. Then they show up in stores and mass quantities, cheap as you